The views and opinions expressed by John and DJ do not reflect those of any intelligent or rational human being and are solely the property of the Brightside Chat.
This show is a proud member of the Nerdy Legion Podcast Network. Get more at nerdylegion.com. Enjoy the show!
Hey, welcome back to The Bright Side and issue number 157. John, how are you doing, buddy?
I'm doing good, man. I don't know why that was funny, but...
I forgot what the actual number was, but I have the notes in front of me, so I just scrolled really fast. I'm like, and I stalled. I'm like, issue number, and I'm like, what? Seven! Got it! you know, when you're putting everything together like this, you start to forget the little details, like the number end of it, you know.
You got a tough job.
Yeah, I know. Luckily, I'm adequately compensated for the...
I know, right?
For the amount of intelligence that takes to do my job. Or I should say, the amount of intelligence I'm putting into the job.
I say, if we were paid by our intelligence, we'd be in a lot of trouble.
Yeah. No. Yeah, I owe you again.
Right.
all right. You ready to get into the story? I don't think we're going to go 3 hours tonight, John.
Okay. I don't think so.
Almost guaranteed.
We've got a little streamlined, just a little bit more streamlined show.
Yeah, looking forward to it. Let's see if we can do a nice tight two.
All right. A nice tight number two? Or
okay, let's get into the story. On that note, oh boy! I mean, we can't have audio drops dropping in our open too, can we?
I know.
I don't know. I'm like,
we can do whatever we want, man.
I guess it's. I mean, it's like. I mean,
oh my!
There
you go.
All right. Yeah, I didn't want to be doing that in the open too. All that audio going.
Right.
So.
I don't want to burn out all at once.
Yeah, I know.
He was rode wet and put away hard. There you go. Spared a burnout right away, stroking his bald cat. Oh, jeez.
You
just have them all like numbered 1 through 9, and
yeah, I don't even know what they are. Just like guess, boom.
Yeah.
I was just afraid you were gonna you're getting flashbacks to that night that you might not remember. I don't know why I feel funny.
Yeah.
Every time I hit my butt, you're like, oh, no, I got to drink more.
See, I was looking for my drink, and I don't have one, so.
Right. I said to you earlier today when we were texting about, like, getting back, you know, tonight's show, like, what time and everything, and I'm like, I don't know why, but it does. It feels like it's been a long time.
Yeah, you said that, and I was like, it's funny because the last time we recorded for a long time.
Yeah, I know. You said that. You're like, well, we did record for that. I know.
We spoke for a long time, so I don't know why it feels like it's been so long.
I know. It's actually, technically, it's been shorter because we went an extra hour last week. And
it's been 6 days and 23 hours.
Exactly. So, yeah, it's, I don't know, but. I just been really looking forward to it. I go, I think we have a lot I'm excited to talk to you about. Number one on the list, I finally saw No Time to Die.
Oh, yeah.
So we'll talk good about deal. That in Kryptonite. We'll talk All about right. that in Kryptonite. Unless you want to do a little bit of spoiler. I think you already said you liked it.
Yeah, I've done my bit on it.
Honestly,
it depends on how much you want to spoil of a movie that came out. You know, 2 months ago. So,
well, here's the thing. I was thinking about that myself, and a lot of people, like myself, hadn't seen it, and right. people are waiting to get it at home now with COVID and stuff. And I know, like our buddy Nick there. He doesn't. I don't think he's been back to the movies yet. And right. a lot of people wait for this stuff to come home. So, with something like that, and I didn't wait for it to come home. It just happened to be able to be rented, and it's more convenient for me. And
right.
To be honest with you, I enjoyed it way more in my home. It looked fantastic. It's
right.
a beautifully shot film. And I use that term literally, like film. Like it just
yeah,
looks
it's
gorgeous.
Great. But, you know, like I said, my spoiler-free review remains the same. If it was a 2 hour and 40 minute runtime, give or take, I really loved 2 hours and 35 minutes of it.
Really? See, now I'm really interested to get to Kryptonite because I want to know what it was. What really, like, I'm looking forward to it. I don't want to talk about it here because I really enjoyed the movie. I really enjoyed everything about it. And we'll talk about it. I mean, it's not my favorite movie of all time. I thought it was a little long, but I enjoyed sitting there. I enjoyed the banter, the back and forth, the James Bond. I have a lot to talk about when we get to that. So I think we'll have that. And then
we'll get to it.
Also in Kryptonite, season finale of Foundation. Did you see that?
Uh-huh. Sure.
What did you think of the season as a whole? Spoiler free. And we'll talk about it in Kryptonite. But
I mean, I feel like I don't like it as much as you do. But
I don't think anybody likes it as much as I do.
Yeah, I thought it was fine. Like, I find myself a little confused at times while watching it. Like, I don't really follow everything that's going on. Even, you know, to the big time jump at the end of the season finale. It's like, it just feels like we're washing our hands of the whole season, you know, for season two.
Right. Well, it does take place over 1,000 years.
Yeah.
This entire story.
But it's 1,000 years with the same two people that are still 28 years old. Like, you know.
Well, technically.
They're not getting any older.
It's the same two that, but what's interesting, and we'll talk about that. I actually loved it. I loved everything. I love everything about it. Same, very much like Bond. It's like, it's just gorgeous to watch.
It's
like Dune was. Very nice, like really well shot, beautiful sets, beautiful everything. The imagery that they have is just awesome. But I love the story of it. And how many different stories you have, and the emotions that they play with in that too. Because you go for, and we'll talk about the finale.
The
emotions that you get, you're like, oh my god, it's
that I'm definitely looking forward to getting more information on in season two. I mean, like I said, I enjoyed it. Ultimately, again, I don't think I like it as much as you do, but I thought it was really good. Like, I thought it was really good. You know, I did enjoy it. Lydia dropped out about halfway through the season. She just really didn't like it that much.
Okay.
Yeah, so.
You know what's funny?
Is funny because I feel like if she stuck, I feel like the last half of the season was better. And she would have maybe liked it a little more if she stuck with it. But, you know, that's, like I said, neither here nor there. But
right. Yeah. I love the science behind it. I love the math that it's all based in math. I love everything about it. But then the emotional part of it, like I said, how they wrapped it up. There's so many emotional roller coaster moments in that finale for me that I was just like, that was just really good. And then last, did you finish Another Life?
I did.
And what did you think of that finale of season two, which just dropped? Season two just dropped, right?
Yeah, it was brand new within the last few weeks.
Yeah.
Again, I enjoyed it. At the end of the day, I feel like season one was better than season two. Like, I don't think it finished quite as strong as it started. And it seems like it's done, like it's kind of wrapped up, and this was just a two season thing, but enjoyable. Like I enjoyed the whole thing, but I think it started stronger than it ended.
I feel the
in
same
season one, I liked the characters, and I at the end of the day, I liked season one more.
Yeah,
but still really good, definitely worth a watch. Yeah.
We'll probably go in Kryptonite. We'll probably go in that. The reverse order that we just went. I feel like Another Life will be the shortest conversation. Foundation will be the second, and then No Time to Die. We'll wrap up with, but that will be spoilers at the end of this show. I think that's where our time is going to be. So let's get to that.
All right.
Let me see. Let me pull up. What do we got next here? Let's see.
Well, it's a wide open road, so it can be whatever we want it to be.
All right. John?
DJ?
We haven't asked, but we're in mailbag now.
Okay, I could tell by the sound.
Yeah, you could tell by the sound. I didn't say anything, but there we go. But we haven't asked for these in a while, but you know, sometimes the best ones are the ones, the best gifts you get are the ones you don't even ask for. You just receive out of the goodness of somebody's heart. And our buddy BJ Horton, 2005, at BJ Horton 2005 on Twitter, also same call sign, he gave us a 5-star review.
I saw that.
When was the last? Yeah, I know, I tweeted it. And I included
well,
you
yeah,
on
but
it.
I saw it. Well, but I saw it. I actually
did
saw
you go
it.
On Apple too?
Yeah.
I happened to be at work and I was looking. I hadn't checked them in a while. And honestly, I went on and I checked Home Theater and I checked Brightside, and he left one for each of us. One for each of us.
And one for the Bodius.
Yeah. Yeah. And so the Brightside chat, 5-star reviews. Title is, "What a Fantastic Duo."
I know.
Exclamation
now,
point.
I feel like there was
an opportunity
like
lost.
Minus 2 style points there because it's not what a dynamic duo, but I'll let it go.
I thought the same thing, but hey, you know, when you get a gift like this, and you know,
I know, we're getting a 5-star review and taking off style points.
I know. But come on.
Hey, it's just right. It's low-hanging fruit, man.
I know. I mean, we're nothing if we're not ball busters, that's for sure.
Exactly. And low-hanging fruit. So
speaking of busting, never mind. He wrote this back on November 1st, and here we are almost at December 1st. So we are timely, if nothing else.
Yeah.
So he says, "Very fun podcast, mostly about comics, some content about movies. The two guys that make up this podcast are a recipe for fun."
Look at that.
I've never been referred to as a recipe. Well, maybe for disaster.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Like, not for fun.
Not fun, not success.
No.
just disaster.
Yeah, definitely not success.
Yeah.
But yeah, that was awesome. And when I tweeted it out, I'm like, he gets us. He really gets us. But yeah, thanks, BJ. That was awesome. Awesome. And if anybody else would like to give us a fight, it's been a long time since he came in under the wire. It had been almost a year since our last review. So
oh, really?
So we're at least at one a year. Well, we stopped asking a long time ago. We used to say it at the end of every podcast. And then,
we did.
You know, we were getting them, not regularly, but, you know, we were getting them here and there, especially early on. But then we just, it's nice to get them, but I don't. We have our listenership. We have people.
Right.
It's word of mouth. And I just don't. I don't know. I mean, I personally, when I look for a podcast, I don't go down and read the reviews. Do you?
I don't either. No.
You know, it's honestly stuff
it's
like
that
this.
Somebody said, "Hey, this
check
is a good show.
Out.
You should listen to it."
Yeah.
You know.
And it's and then you're like, oh, I guess if you get a crap load of them, it can really make a difference for, like, if you're a bigger a huge podcast and you get a bunch, and it puts you higher in the rankings if somebody searches your subject. We're never going to get there.
No.
But what's funny is what these reviews are really for, it's for me and you. It's motivation. Right. It's a thank you from a listener or something like that. And we get a kick out of it, and we appreciate it, just like all the feedback and stuff. Anything like that. So I'm not diminishing them at all. I'm just saying, like, the real purpose of them, we don't really. That's probably why we stopped getting them. And I feel funny asking people, "Can you guys tell us how great we are, please?"
Rate, review, and subscribe.
Yeah. Yep. That's right. Yep. Rate, review, and subscribe. So, all right. Next up, Martin Anderson. "Sorry, I didn't answer back." But like you say, there are way too many to list, but "The Girl Who Waited" and "Blink" are also some of my favorites. "Those Angels" really creep me out. "Tenet" is my number two favorite. I really like Matt Smith. And then he went on to say, I kind of feel like it went a bit downhill with Jodie Whittaker. The stories didn't really get me hooked like they used to. And he said, a little fun thing I noticed some years back before Peter Capaldi was announced as the Doctor. He was in the movie World War Z, where he plays a WHO doctor, World Health Organization. That's pretty funny.
That was funny. I didn't know that, but that was interesting. Yeah, we had a little back and forth.
Yeah, I saw that. Yeah. You got a new Who friend.
Yeah, I have a Who friend. Yeah. And I, like I said, I responded back to him. I agreed about the newer seasons. I feel even this season here, I feel like has not been up to the standards that the previous seasons have had. And I don't knock Jodie Whittaker at all, because I think she's fun and she's good. But the stories just haven't been there.
Yeah.
Like I said, this season specifically hasn't been great. Now, I will say this past Sunday's episode was pretty solid. But that was number 4 out of a 6-episode season. So it took, you know, basically into the second half to get a decent episode. But, you know, if it finishes strong, you know, we'll see. Because, like I said, this is the end of her run as the Doctor. So hopefully at least the last couple of episodes are solid, and you know, we can see what comes next.
All right. I haven't even started that yet. Now that, you know, Foundation is done, I'm done with Another Life. I have an opportunity. I actually filled in one slot, time slot already. Okay. We'll talk about that in checkout. But yeah, so maybe I'll start picking that up, and then we can, then you can have two Who friends.
I can have two Who friends.
Two Who. Two Who. All right. BJ again. This was a great episode. I talking about last week's episode. I wanted to say that I enjoyed Lord of the Rings a lot, but really missed Tom Bombadil. Bombadil.
Yeah.
I feel that was a huge part of the books they missed out on. Also, I happened to come across the She-Hulk cover you mentioned several weeks ago. Oh, yeah. My. And he had a screen grab of, or he actually sent the GIF of, what's his name, saying, oh, my.
George Takei.
George Takei, yeah.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Tom Bombadil was just completely scrubbed from the movie franchise, which just seems odd given the length of the movies that we got, that they couldn't squeeze in this character. He was kind of like a wandering minstrel or whatever. He was just kind of always around singing. And
what was his purpose? Because I do recognize the name when you say it. I mean, I didn't recognize.
It's been a long time since I've seen it or read those. I just remember him being, like I said, like a minstrel, or like he was just would pop up and sing songs and stuff.
So
I'm sure he did a little more than that. But
is he like the guy in The Witcher?
More or less, he was a bard. Yeah,
that follows him around.
Yeah,
and it's like,
yeah, toss a coin to your Witcher.
So he really doesn't. So he doesn't add anything to the story. He's just there as like.
He was just there. Like, again, somebody might be screaming that he had some kind of more important plot point that I'm not remembering. All I remember of him really was that, like, he would show up in the woods and be singing songs and stuff.
Right,
but. It wasn't like you couldn't squeeze 5 more minutes into it. Like, the movies are already 27 days long as it is. Like, you can't.
Well, that's just it. It's
like, I could almost read the books word for word quicker than I could watch the movies. So
I don't know about that.
Yeah.
But that's, I mean, I'm sure there were other cuts made too. But
they were, but he was like the glaring character omission.
Yeah.
That just wasn't there, you know? So.
Well. I don't think he played a lot to the story, though. He didn't change.
I don't think he did either, really.
Right.
I don't remember him being that critical, but, you know, I remember the name and I definitely know the character.
Yeah.
Right. I always thought it was a little weird that he was cut, especially from the extended editions, you know. Maybe the theatrical cuts, they were trying to tighten it to a, you know, they were trying to get to a tight 3 hours for the theatrical cuts. But
it's like our podcast.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know.
But, you know, Sky, they had all, the sky was the limit on the, you know.
Yeah, that would have been cool if he was at least in the special editions. Because, like you said, once you get there, add on five more. I mean, look at what Snyder does.
Yeah.
Turns a movie into a TV series. He had
plenty of people, singing, you know.
Yeah.
that didn't need to be. So.
Oh, yeah. When Aquaman in.
yeah, that whole thing with those.
Just when Aquaman goes into the ocean there, that, I mean, he just disappeared in the in the original. And the second one, there was a whole music montage of the girls.
Yeah, there's like the Finland choir orchestra or whatever it was. Like, and
I want to say that had something to do with his daughter, though. I think that was a song by, like, his daughter liked or something.
Oh, really?
I thought I remember hearing that. Maybe I'm wrong on that. I know the entire thing was dedicated to his daughter. The movie, I mean, not just that scene.
Yeah. You're talking about Snyder. I thought you were talking about Jason Momoa.
No.
You're talking about Snyder's daughter. Yeah, yeah, maybe. I don't know. Yeah.
All right, moving on. Theo. The One Alpha. I really have been enjoying your shows. Good info. Thanks. I didn't doubt you, Theo.
I was going to say.
doesn't sound like I really have.
Yeah. It's like.
Wasn't doubting you. Wasn't doubting
somebody must have been.
Yeah. I know.
It's like he's trying to prove a point. It's like, really?
Really? Prove it. I'll make another tweet.
Yeah.
And. Dr. Joe says Newbern will be a TV series. Chip's already written the pilot. And he gets to call him Chip because he interviewed him on his podcast.
Yeah. They're on a TLDR.
Yeah, first name basis. And he never answered me. I said, didn't he say that on your podcast? I swear, like when we were talking about it last week, it was in my head. I just didn't want to say it because I didn't want to. But now I will, even though he didn't answer me. I swear. So if you don't know what we're talking about, Dr. Joe, him and Nick do a podcast, TLDR, and they actually are interviewing a lot of great artists right now, including Chip Zdarsky they had on. Right. That was like 2 or 3 weeks ago, wasn't it?
Yeah.
It was before Newbern came out, and they've already read the series. I think they read...
Well, he said at least 1 through 5. I don't know how long the series
is. Yeah, and it... I want to say it's like 6 or something, and they didn't send them 6.
Yeah, why would you not send the number 6?
And they said that to him. They were like, can we get 6? Like, you're killing us here. And I'm sitting there listening going, oh, shut up. You've read all 5.
Like, yeah.
I haven't even read 1 yet. But
I own a store, and I didn't get 5 issues, so.
Yeah, there you go.
Just saying.
Just saying. Yeah.
I'm the one that orders the product.
Yeah. Yeah. So. You don't have the reach TLDR has.
I don't, apparently.
But that was good. But I swear that they said that there, that he was already working on, or maybe he didn't. Maybe he didn't say it on air. I don't know. I don't know. Maybe
I don't know.
But he is saying Newbern will be a TV series, which listening back to what we were talking about, we were like, this would be great as a TV series. That's all we talked about. How great that would be.
No, I think it'll be a good show.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. And that will do it for Mailbag for this week.
All right.
That was great. Keep them coming, everybody. Keep them coming. A lot of fun. I like that one. I like that segment.
Me too.
All right. John, you ready to get to DJ. Some breaking news?
I am.
Breaking news, but whatever.
I don't know how broke it is, but
it's broke. It's kind of twisted. So, all right,
we should really just rename this section to Reading News because
John, would you
I'm
like
just
to
reading
read
the news?
The news?
Yeah.
All right.
We're not reporting or breaking anything.
I know. No, but speaking of that, well, let's talk about that quickly. The Spider-Man trailer. Uh-huh. I think it literally dropped as soon as we like stopped recording. We recorded for 3 hours last week, and the Spider-Man trailer I think dropped as soon as we finished recording.
They were waiting.
Yeah, they were waiting. They didn't want us to.
They
break
didn't
want to
compete.
Everybody.
It was like Wonder Woman moving away from Endgame. You know?
Good call. Whoa, that they ran away from us.
They did.
They was a scared.
I scared.
I got that somewhere around here. I don't know where. No, that is awesome. You're right. They were totally afraid of our podcast. So there you go.
They pulled a Wonder Woman on us.
Yeah. And it, you know, just and like what they used to do back in the day. You had a good up and coming show, you'd put it on after Cheers. So Cheer, right. It would lead you right into the next show and people would watch that. So that's what they did. Right after the Bright Side Chat, people went right to a Spider-Man trailer. Did you see the Spider-Man trailer?
I have seen it.
Oh, you did? You said in the podcast last week, you're like, I don't even want to see
it. Well, I've seen it because it's on my playlist at the store. So, like, again, I haven't sat down necessarily to watch it, but I've seen it.
Right.
In pieces over the last week because yeah. it plays once or twice a day at the store. So,
yeah. So, I have a kind of a hot take. Just kidding.
Okay.
None of my takes are hot. I think we need to be prepared for disappointment with this movie. Because these are the movies that we get disappointed about. Because there's so much hype. And listening over the last week to everybody talk and read on Twitter and everywhere about how great this looks and everything. And I'm like, you've seen 2 minutes.
Well, that's why I stay away from it, and I'm not buying into any of that.
Right.
Like, I'm not any more excited I was 2 weeks ago.
Right.
You know.
Well, that is to say, I'm always excited for a Spider-Man movie.
Well, right.
Right.
But I'm not any more than I was for the last one.
Right. So. But you hear these people speculating on what's going to happen, and that's when we get in trouble. Because that's what is the biggest complaints after the fact is with these type of movies. If people are like, oh, they could have done this. They should have done this. We thought they were going to do this. And it's like,
right.
Well, they didn't. They're not out here trying to make our movie.
Well, right. And that's the thing. It's like we think we're writing better movies.
Yeah.
Than they are.
And so. I've liked both Spider-Man movies so far.
Yes, me too.
But I can honestly say they aren't super high on my list of MCU movies type thing. They're up there, but I mean Endgame, Infinity War is better. I love Tom Holland. I love what they're doing here, but at the same time there's just something, I don't know. I just feel like that come, you know, December when this comes out, We're all going to be like, not myself, but you're going to hear a lot of disappointment.
Right.
And that's the other thing. People are like, oh, this is going to be the greatest one ever. It's like, yeah. Way to set the bar. So, right.
Well,
because,
you know, we can't take things for what they are, you know, or wait for things. We have to build them up. And you know, again, that goes back to why I don't like to.
Right.
I don't like to watch a lot of trailers and get involved in all the hype for these things, because like you said, they inevitably lead to being let down.
Right.
So, you know, but you know, I am excited for it just the same way as I am for every other MCU
yes.
movie. So
that's what I said. I'm not worried about you and I,
yeah.
or you and me, but I'm not worried about that. We see these movies regardless of the hype. And even we've tempered our own expectations. Even if we're super excited, we come out of it and go, okay, you know, our opinions aren't, I don't really feel like we base our opinions on the hype and everything we thought ahead of time, but you hear a lot of people and you're like, well, what did you think was going to happen? And that's usually the problem, but we'll see.
And I don't need every movie I see to be the best one I ever saw. Like, it doesn't need to be the best of the three Spider-Man movies.
No.
It you know, as long as it's a good one, I'm fine. Like, I don't think everyone has to one up the one that came before it. So,
you know what I feel like though? I feel like ever since Infinity War and Endgame, so that did something that hasn't, I can't think, has ever happened before. So we all went to the movies in, what was it, 20? When was Infinity War? 18? I forget.
Yeah, 18.
Okay. So we all go to the movies in spring of 2018, and we were excited, we were scared, we're like, what if this is a load of crap? We're like, you don't know, right? And we were treated to a spectacle like no other. You know, the right. culmination of the entire MCU coming together and finally getting everything. And you're like, oh my God. How? And there was, for a year, we had to wait for Endgame. And we were like, what if this isn't as good? How do you top that?
Right.
Then they kind of did. And the argument wasn't really, it was like, is it better? Is it worse? Is it this? Is it? I mean, they were so close.
Right.
And they pulled it off. They legitimately, I would say the only closest one would probably be Lord of the Rings. You know, where you had those three movies back to, and you'd be like, ooh, what if the right. next one sounds good? So I guess it has happened. But having those two back to back like that, and now the next one that came out, we had Spider-Man dropped in July after that. And we're like, oh, okay, that was nice. And then we had to wait a whole year plus for Black Widow. And now we're just like, we're waiting for that next great movie. But I feel like nobody's actually said it, but in the back of our minds, we're still thinking of Endgame and we're thinking of Infinity War and the greatness that it was and not really looking back at all of those other movies. And it's not a fair comparison.
Right. Well, I feel like, honestly, everything since then has been a bit of a letdown. Like, nothing that's come Correct. Since Endgame has been as good as Endgame.
How could it be?
But, you know, not all the 20 movies leading up to it were as good as Endgame either. You know,
right. That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. Yeah. It's like where the bar has been set at Endgame, and that's not right. fair. Nobody, I mean, you can't meet that. It's like you
it
have
might
to,
not be done again.
No. Know? Well, you'd have they to do like another 20 movies and culminate it right. at that, you know, right. and then maybe you could do it. And I think that's what they're doing. They're resetting here, and people are hoping because here's the big character that was in Endgame. And he's right. going, and this is literally his second movie since Endgame. So right. it's, I don't, I'm like, hmm.
Well, and he's arguably the most popular character in the world. So,
right. Exactly.
You know, there's bound to be a lot of hype surrounding his movies because, you know, again, he is, you know, say what you want about Superman. And I you know, I could debate either way. But,
yeah.
you know, just based on the movies and the pop culture these days. You know, I mean, the Spider-Man is it. So, you know, like I said, there's bound to be an expectation.
That's
there.
A good debate. We should do that one you sometime. Know. That's a, yeah. we'll buck up and pick a side.
Well, there's popularity and then there's like importance and they're different. Right. I don't think anybody could argue that anybody is more popular than Spider-Man right now, even Batman, you know, but that hasn't always been the case. So a lot of it is due to the MCU.
Well, Bruce Banner didn't know who he was.
Yeah.
There's a Spider-Man too? There's an Ant-Man and yeah. a Spider-Man?
Right. how many bugs do we need?
Yeah, exactly. One thing I haven't heard anybody say about the what if. Now, they're introducing multiverse here, supposedly bringing Spider-Man into this movie, multiple. What if they bring out one we haven't heard of yet? What if they introduce a brand new one? And, like, we're all concerned about where, like, you know, Tobey Maguire and all the, well, and, like, that Miles might show up. And,
I was going to say, the low-key rumor is that it, you know, Miles might show
but
up.
But that one exists. What if somebody right. else shows up that has never existed before?
Right.
And it's played by a huge actor or something like that. And you're like, they just made up a new one from a new universe for the MCU. And we're like, wait a minute. I'm like, yeah. how do you think that'll be received?
Poorly.
Like, do you? Depends yeah. on who the actor is.
Yeah, I don't know, though. I just think that would be such a blatant... You grab for attention that I don't think it would play.
They're all grabs of attention.
Well. Yeah, but they're
the whole
established.
Movie industry is a grab for attention.
Yeah, but you know they're you know established characters are one thing. Like right. you know if we get the you know I don't know who's even big these days. Like who's the biggest actor right now? I don't know.
The Rock.
Yeah, I guess The Rock, right? So is it?
Did you mean literally or figuratively?
Well, I'm just trying to think because you know my mind goes to like Brad Pitt, but like Brad Pitt really isn't the hottest, isn't Ryan hot Reynolds. Actor anymore. Yeah,
he's
Ryan Reynolds
Deadpool,
maybe,
though.
But yeah, he's already Deadpool. So I guess today's version would be The Rock, right? He's probably the most
does Ryan Reynolds
the most
show
popular.
Up in this movie?
You know, I mean, they already have the kitchen sink in it, so
and that's what I mean.
Might as well
a little cameo of Deadpool. Yeah. That would be pretty cool. So
yeah.
Who knows? We should just sit here and start listing names of people that could be in it, and then when they do, we can always go back and go, "We called it." Just because we listed off a bunch of names, like read the phone book.
We were wrong 900 times, but we were right once.
Yep, that's broken clock, John. Broken clock. It's our podcast. All right, let's get back to the news proper.
Okay.
Leading off. Awesome.
Yeah, so an actress named Natasha Liu Bordizzo, who I actually saw for the first time this past weekend in a movie.
What was she in?
The Voyeurs. I was saving it for Real World, but she was in a movie called The Voyeurs.
Oh, okay. She's cute.
And
looks just
and
like
I saw her.
Her,
and then I saw the. It's like I had to go back to the article because I was like, where do I recognize her from?
Oh, right.
Natasha has been cast as Sabine Wren for the Ahsoka live action series on Disney Plus. So bringing us closer to the Rebels show that we were hoping for. And also lending some credence to the casting rumors for Ezra and Thrawn that were kind of teased by.
They haven't cast Thrawn yet?
Apparently they have. What's her name? Ahsoka. Why can't I'm like just totally spacing on her name. Rosario Dawson.
Oh, okay.
She put a tweet out talking about the casting for those two characters, and then it kind of quickly came down. But you know, the fact that we've cast Sabine now, you know, again, kind of lends more credence to the fact that we're probably getting Ezra and Thrawn as well. So, looking to
That'd
be more
cool.
Like Rebel season 3, you know,
yeah.
After all. So
yeah,
should be great. Like I'm really looking forward to it. What's his name? Dave Filoni. I saw a headline earlier today too, from Dave Filoni talking about how, you know, this is a story that he's always like, he's wanted to tell for a long time, with Ahsoka and,
cool.
He is the head writer on this, it looks
he
like.
He created
so.
Her, didn't he?
Well, he created her as a character, yes, but this is a story he's wanted to tell for a while. So, yeah, I mean, I don't know who could be more excited for that. She looks the part, though. I mean, she looks like Sabine.
Doesn't she?
You know, and I think it's, like I said, it should be great.
I love Sabine, too. I mean, she's
I
a great character.
She is a great character.
That whole Rebel series was,
I would say it's underrated, but it not really for Star Wars fans. It's not like we all know it's really good, but, you know, when you talk about the like it's not regarded as highly as Clone Wars, but I liked it. I thought Rebels was just as good. In some cases, it's better.
Yeah, because
in some cases it was better.
It was better because I felt our buddy Zach said. Told me when I was starting it, he goes, it's a little bit more adult.
Which is funny because it looks like it wouldn't be.
Right.
You know, with the characters that we had, you know, you have Ezra, who's a younger character.
Not to say it's an adult show. It's just that it was just a little bit more serious. And
right.
I don't know how to explain it, but it did feel that way. And it was a little bit, it was laid out a lot nicer. Clone Wars was scattered.
Right.
So,
well, especially with the way you have to watch it,
right.
And the fact that you have to jump all around if you want to watch it correctly,
right?
Whereas, like
worse
with this,
than The Witcher,
with this you don't have to worry about that. You just can watch it from start to finish. So.
Yeah. Yep. Looking forward to that.
Yep. Me too.
All right.
All right. Next up, it looks like Netflix it reportedly is developing a Power Rangers interconnected universe consisting of films and TV series for their platform. So I am not a Power Rangers fan per se.
I was going to say, I know it's the bright side. I have
But tons of people
interest.
Are. Yeah, tons of people are. And, you know, depending on how they do it and if it's something you can jump into, you know, cold without having to, you know, have all the history of it, you know, I may give it a shot. But I've never really watched any of the shows or movies.
Yeah,
this
me
was
neither.
Kind of a little bit after our time.
After our time. Yeah. I feel like it's people that were born late 80s.
Yeah. And I would say in early 90s, because my son, you know,
you'd have to be late 80s at the earliest.
Right.
Right. Because if you were born in the early 80s, you were too old for this by the time it came out, is what I'm saying. So, like, anytime, even in the 90s or after, it was good. My kids didn't really get into it. I felt like maybe it kind of dropped off by the time they were born in the late 90s.
Right.
So I feel like it dropped off a little bit there. But if you were a TV viewer in the early 90s,
my son's 92, born in 92.
Is he a big Power Rangers?
I mean, I wouldn't say he's huge, but he, you know, he watched them and he was a fan when he was younger. I don't think he follows them or cares too much about them now.
Yeah.
But you know, like I said, one of my part-time employees, he's like 28, 29, same age as my son, and he's a huge Power Rangers guy. So I think that's, like I said, that's about the age.
Yeah, I could see how you could be. I mean, they didn't exist when we were kids, but we loved, like, Guy King, Grandizer, you know, Force 5. They were all shows
Voltron,
similar
all
to
that
stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I just never got into it. And I really have no interest
like I said,
in starting
I didn't
now.
But if Netflix, you know, Netflix does quality.
Yeah.
You know, quality stuff. And if they put something together that's easy to jump into, I'll probably give it a go, you know. And see where it lands. I may not stick with it, but I'll at least give it a shot.
All right. Great. We're going to become Power Ranger fans now.
I know, right? I'm going to have to go back and watch all the old Power Ranger stuff. So, all right. Next up, also from Netflix, which I think we already knew this, but I don't know why it popped up again this week. But Netflix has ordered a series based on Nocterra, the comic book by Scott Snyder and Tony Daniel. Like I said, I thought we knew that way back when the comic first came out. But I think they've got like a producer and some more people attached, and that's why it's showing up back in the news again. But I loved Nocterra. I thought it was a great comic. I think it'll be a good show.
Yeah.
The first arc is done, but you know, they've promised to come back for more, so this thing could go on. It seems like
and again a Netflix series, Scott Snyder. I mean, it'll be really
and again,
good.
It's another
really
comic
good.
that's made for a TV show.
Yeah,
you know? I mean, it's just you know, it's just kind of right there. I'm not going to say he wrote it with that in mind, but. Could have. It almost feels that way.
Well,
so
to be fair, I mean, when you're writing a comic, you're really writing. It's just like storyboarding a show.
It
right?
is.
So it's the same thing. And it's like, I mean, you take. That's why it's so easy to adapt, or it's easier to adapt a comic. You have your storyboards right there. This, and then you can manipulate those from there. It just, all right, sounds good to me. It's like, and. Just like anybody, it's like you're doing something in the hopes of, imagine if someday this got picked up. I mean, these are the guys, you're talking about people with like some of the greatest imaginations in the world. You think they don't imagine these things becoming TV shows too?
Oh, I'm sure they do. That's what I'm saying. It's almost like he wrote it with that in mind.
Yeah.
So,
we haven't been picked up yet, but we keep imagining it.
We keep trying. I wouldn't say we have the greatest imaginations out there, but
they already did our movie. It's called Dumb and
they
Dumber.
Picked us,
end of story.
Yeah, they picked us up and put us right back down. So
yeah, we got optioned to quit.
They scraped us off the bottom of their shoe. Like, what did I step in?
Yeah, so, did you go away? Oh, stop encouraging them.
Yeah.
All right. What do we got next?
Next up, Ridley Scott has announced a Blade Runner TV series in development, and apparently the pilot has already been written. No word on where this would be produced, you know, which network would have it. But
Variety's headline has Ridley Scott live-action Blade Runner and Alien TV series being developed.
Oh, really?
Pilots are written.
Well, I think we already knew about the Alien series. We talked about that previously.
Okay. Well, and that's why it's there then. So I was just re-emphasizing.
Okay. No, I'm just saying, I think we already knew that one.
But Blade Runner, I think Blade Runner's awesome because it really deserves a series.
Yeah.
Like, that entire world could really, I mean, could you imagine if they could get the budget and do something like what they're doing with have the budget of a foundation and put that kind of production quality into, you know, oh man, if Apple TV did it and to have that universe and that story to be played out over a series with that much more information to it. Oh, it would be fantastic.
I have to confess to not being the hugest Blade Runner fan. I've seen the movies, and they're visually
stunning.
Phenomenal.
Yeah.
Especially the second, you know, the 2049. But I never really got into the first movie. But I appreciate them.
And I do too.
I definitely will watch the series, but
they're heavy.
Maybe being a little bit older now and looking for more content like that, I'll enjoy them more. But as a kid, when Blade Runner first came out, I honestly didn't love it.
Not a kid movie, though. Heavy movie with it's very thought provoking. It's very like The Matrix. Like, if you just watch it for the surface part of it, it's not really that kind of a movie. It's not it's not a sci-fi action flick that you walk out going, that was all. You walk out going, what the hell just happened there?
Right.
And it's really a movie it's a very deep movie it's very heavy. You walk out and you're like, now it's not, for me, it's not super rewatchable. But that's why I say if they took a Blade Runner and made a Blade Runner series, and then they fleshed out, pun intended, a whole bunch of stuff here, it would make you similar to like what you're doing with Dune. Like you're reading the comic. Like, I need to get more information because I love what they're doing with this world here and I want to know more. What if they fleshed out a bunch of stuff in that universe and it makes you go back and watch the movies and with a new light? With a new view, you know, and I think that could be fantastic in a series for, you know, 8-10 episode series. That's 8 to 10 hours of content of being able to explain a lot more that we've all discussed over the years when we talk about these movies. So I think it could be great. And they both kind of set the bar for production quality at their time. You know, special effects and everything like that. So I would imagine that, you know, Ridley Scott doing that series, they're not going to skimp. So
no, it's going to go someplace where they'll have
to like Apple Plus or a Netflix.
Like I said, they'll have the budget. It'll be on HBO Max or Netflix or Apple Plus or something. But
I can't remember what company.
Well, I mean, it's a Warner Brothers movie, I'm not mistaken. So it probably goes to HBO Max. I would imagine it would go there, but
I'm really looking forward to that. That would be awesome.
Yeah, me too. Yep.
All right.
Next up, on a lighter note, Sergio
really
Aragone's Sergio Aragone's character Gru the Wanderer has been optioned for an animated series. You know, back in the day, I loved Gru the Wanderer. Like, Marvel put out a comic in the mid '80s.
I never even heard of it.
And it was super funny. Like, I thought it was really funny.
A dopey Conan?
Kind of, yeah. Sergio Aragone's did a lot of work for Mad Magazine.
Okay.
And so it's that style and that kind of, you know, artwork and humor. And but yeah, he's essentially a Conan type character. But like I said, the comic back in the 80s I thought was super funny. He's showed up again recently. There's been some newer series which I read. I didn't think were either I've changed or they're not as good as I remember, but I didn't enjoy them as much as I
kind of like Conan was.
Yeah. I didn't enjoy them as much as I remembered enjoying them back in the day.
Yeah.
But you know, again, I'll give it a shot and see how it goes.
Yeah.
And you know, just to see what they do. But
I'll follow you anyway, buddy. We'll
there
see.
You go. All right.
Right over a cliff.
Right over the edge. And then last but not least, Delroy Lindo has joined the cast of Marvel's Blade movie. So Delroy just had a birthday last week, actually.
Did he?
He popped up. Yeah, he popped up in a couple of the birthday Facebook comic book resources.
How old is he?
Or whatever. 68, I think.
Really?
Yeah.
The image I have here, he looked great.
Yeah.
Looks
yeah,
great.
I think he's in his late 60s.
Yeah.
And yeah, so, you know, he's one of those guys that is good in anything he shows up in.
Yeah.
He's not like an A-lister where you're like, oh, he was in this or he was in that. But
Gone in 60 one of those, Seconds?
Yeah.
Do you remember him in that? I loved him in that. He was hysterical in that.
But yeah, he's just one of those guys that just always shows up and kind of makes the scene better. So
yeah.
I don't know who he's going to play in this movie. Maybe like the Whistler character. Possibly.
Oh, yeah.
But could be anybody. I don't know because I don't know what they're doing with that movie. So,
yeah. Cool.
Could be the bad guy. Who knows?
Yep. No, he's, yeah, he'd be great.
Yeah.
Great. All right. Is that's all you got?
That's all I had for news. Yeah.
All right. All right. We are, this week, we are moving on from Speculator, Back Issue, and FOC, kinda. So we got some comments this week because we put it out last week. Do we want to keep doing this? And so we got a couple of comments from listeners, and I didn't want to mention listeners' names because in case people really do want it, I didn't want to shout out people's names and be like, hey, they told us to take it off. I'm like, everybody was very respectful. No, everyone's like, oh, no, you don't, I vote. If you want to get rid of it, that's fine with me, too. You know, everything. It was like that. So we're going to move on from that. If you'd like to see it back, let us know. If we, you know, if we get.
Yeah.
It stays gone. But one suggestion we did get was, how about we do stuff like what I'm about to do for FOC and like the covers. So. We got the covers that we have from this week. I just chose three covers that you had out on your website on Facebook. DC vs. Vampires number 3, Francesco Mattina variant.
Uh-huh.
So that cover I thought was fantastic.
Yes.
Definitely warranted being talked about. So it's like anything we thought was special, we could talk about. So and especially with FOC, what I really liked about FOC is... This is stuff people can actually, if they see the cover, they like the cover, they can go on next week's Monday or like DC, it'd have to be by Thursday and order it. You know, whereas the speculator was, here's how you buy it for this price and you could make this much money. And if you're not really into doing trading comics and doing all that, but if you see a piece of art you like, and that's kind of, that's my thing. That's what I like to do. I go to the store and I'm like, oh, I really like that. So.
And again, like speculator can stay gone, FOC can come back. It doesn't, you know.
But I like the idea of
I'm
just,
open, but
right, of just doing special one. Like if you see something, we see something, say something, John. You know.
Okay.
You know. So, I went with that one. I also liked the. Oh, I mean, how did you not? I mean, of all weeks, John. Deathstroke Inc. number 4, Ivan Tao.
Yeah,
variant.
Ivan Tao.
Come on,
that was a great cover,
isn't it? That's fantastic.
Yeah, I liked it.
Cover. That's right up your
and
alley.
And I'm not sure who that is. This is the first time I've ever seen that artist's name. So.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a really nice cover.
But I really liked the cover.
Yeah. And also the next one was Detective Comics number 1046, Lieber Mayhew.
Lieber Mayhew. Yeah, that was. I mean, he's always great.
Yeah.
But this, yeah, that was a really nice cover as well.
Yeah, and that kind of has like a, when I first saw it, it had a, like a Stallone vibe to it. It like.
I guess I can see that. Yeah.
Yeah. Well. Yeah. Like kind of like a mix between, and it sounds stupid to say this, but a mix between Rocky and Rambo. I know they're the same person, but it's like Rocky never really had that kind of hair.
Well, they're the same actor. Yeah.
I know that. I know that's what I mean.
The same person.
No, no. But, yeah, I that's a really cool cover, too. So, that's it for FOC this week. We're just, you know, just chatting about it. If you want to see the images, they're up on YouTube. So, those covers there I thought were really, really cool. So, other than that, what I was thinking of doing is moving our sounder for checkout. Moving our sounder to... That's what you do when you check out, John.
Right. All right. Sounds good.
All right.
Repurpose.
Repurpose
that sounder.
Because, you know, spending my money, I haven't done... I can't... I miss not saying... I'll miss not saying
right.
that. So, all right. What do we got first this week in checkout?
First book is from Vault Comics. It was called Radio Apocalypse, issue number one. It was written by Ram V, and it was drawn by Anand RK. So a lot of initials in these two creators. I'm not going to beat around the bush. I didn't like this book at all.
Really? Oh, wow.
Yeah,
good.
This
will be
like
fun.
I thought the art was terrible.
Yes, it was.
I really thought the art was bad. And I didn't really understand it. Like, I really don't know what's going on here. It's another post-apocalyptic world where, you know, we have a town, a Bakerstown, I guess, is one of the refuges where people are living. And there's a radio station there that's broadcasting I don't know what and for who. Like, I didn't really understand it, to be honest with you. I didn't get into this book at all.
Now, did you read the
forward? Honestly, I didn't like it.
Did you read the forward?
No.
Oh, okay. So...
No, and even looking at the synopsis that I'm reading right now, I didn't get any of this from the first issue. So...
Oh. So, in the forward, it's... I kind of... Now, I had a completely different take.
Okay.
So
that's what's good, right?
Yeah, exactly. So there it says, "Dear reader," I'm going to read it to you, and how this kind of like I did a 180 on this book, to be honest with you.
Okay.
So, dear reader, this comic was written to music playing over speakers, sometimes on vinyl, others remembered on CDs and audio cassettes. This story was told with tunes and words and images twining into the inseparable thing in front of you. Let's make a deal. I'll tell you the best story I can about lives, loves, loss, and joy. And you, when you find an image or a line referencing a song or a character playing music on their boombox, Walkman, or handheld radio, I want you to find that song wherever you listen to music, and I want you to play it. That's how this story of the last radio station standing, silhouetted at the far horizon, is meant to be read, plugged in, and turned up. So come, let me play you a song. I read that, and I was like, oh, man, I got to find music.
Yeah, I got to do work.
I got to do work. I don't want to get into this. I didn't want to do that. But I'm like, well, the show, I'm going to read it, and I'm like, I'm going through it. And I got to tell you, by the end of the book, I love where it's going. And because I got the story. It's this town that they're all stuck inside this town because there's those creatures on the outside that come out at night and you can't go out at night and people are dying. And they gave you enough in this first story to tease you on how they're, what's going to happen, where are they going to go? Because there was one line, he goes, we have 89 people in this town.
Right.
you know, last night we had 96 or something. You know what I mean? Like, their numbers keep going down. He's like, if you want to stay in here, you can be the 90th person. But we are not sending anybody out to get help you get your friend.
Right.
That's my little synopsis of a tease on this woman's trying to get, she got in, but she needs somebody to come back to help her get her friend that's still out there.
Well, right. She left her behind because she was hurt.
She couldn't make it.
She couldn't walk. Right? And she went ahead to get help.
And now it's too late because once the sun goes down, you cannot leave this town. And they're not going to. So I was
there was
grabbed
no tauntauns
that,
to run out on,
no,
you know,
no,
after dark.
Yes,
so.
Exactly. And I'll see you in hell.
exactly.
But I was grabbed by their relationship. She didn't want to leave her, but she's like, I got to leave her. But then once she gets to the town, she's like, now do I go be with her or right. do I stay here and hope she's alive the next day?
Right.
I loved that story. And never mind. And then where it goes from there, what happens? And the only opportunity I saw, like, I didn't really find any lines in them. I'm sure they're in there. People are well more versed in
music.
Well,
right. I wouldn't recognize the lines from music, especially if it's newer music.
But the woman requested a song.
Unless it's like Aerosmith or Billy Joel, I'm not going to know it. So,
and to be fair, I want to let everybody know, I was grabbed by this book before they mentioned Springsteen.
Right.
And it's like, I mean, I thought you were going to go, that's when they grabbed you, Deej. No, it wasn't. But then when they said that, and then the song that she requested, she goes, my dad.
I'm on fire, right?
Yeah.
Or,
and then,
yeah.
Yeah, I'm on fire. And then what happens next? And it's, right. I loved it. Absolutely loved it.
That's good.
I thought it was a very creative, and this is one of those things, like we were saying with No Way Home. We're like, oh, you set your expectations. But I was like, oh, no. And then by the end of the book, I was like, I was wrong. This is great. I really loved, I got the story and everything. I loved it. So
yeah, I understood the whole thing with the girl and her friend and all that, but I just didn't really know, like, I don't know. I don't know where we're going. I just didn't like it. It didn't
You're
grab
not
me
a
at all.
You've, yeah. As and long I'm as this not, podcast right? I'm just has so been going, you're not a this. Post-apocalyptic person. We have audio of me saying that.
Right. There's just too much of it. Like, every story is this.
Is right.
And like I said, I'm just kind of over it.
Yeah.
Wasn't for me. And like I said, the art really took me out of this.
Yeah, the art's not fantastic.
The
not
art
at
was
all.
Not good.
It's messy. You know what it reminds me of a little bit is... Remember the watercolors we used to get?
With crayons?
No, we used to get the, you get the watercolors where you don't have to, it's just use water. And you just rub water on the page and the color comes out of the page. It's kind of what it reminded me of.
Yeah, I don't know. No disrespect to Anand RK, but I didn't like it at all. So.
Yep. Art didn't speak to me, but the book did. Okay. All right. Next up.
Next up is Robbins, issue number 1. This is a 6-issue miniseries. It was written by Tim Seeley, had art by Baldemar Rivas. So this, as you might guess from the title, is the multiple Robins that we've had. There's been five characters in this book that were that wore the costume, wore the mantle of Robin. You know, Dick Grayson, Jason Todd, Tim Drake, Stephanie Brown, Damian Wayne. So they're kind of come together. At first, it felt like they were, you know, they were coming together.
Like a reunion?
Like as a reunion or like a, I don't know what they were doing. Like, it starts out with a little mission that they're in, and then they kind of finish the mission, then they kind of get together. I'll be honest with you, for some reason, my mind went, like, I thought they were going to play Dungeons and Dragons for some reason. I don't know why. But
did they mention that in this book? Is that this book?
No, but it felt like that's what Dick was trying, like, he was going to be like the DM, and
sure
he was setting that up as
that?
A game. I don't think so, but that's what I had in my head.
Yeah. I wonder
but
if
really, it turns out that they're getting together, and they're just kind of swapping war stories, like, you know. This is why I became Robin. Now, I will say, like, this is apparently a digital first comic, because when I went to see this, there was 2 issues up And I read the first two issues of this. But at the end of the book, it seems like the protagonist is a Robin that we've never seen who claims to be the first Robin. So yeah. I don't know what's going on with that. Now, I will also say that I didn't think the art was fantastic in this book either, but it wasn't as bad as Radio Apocalypse.
I didn't really like
the style of the art here either.
I didn't like the way, because the other thing is we know these characters.
Right.
And they weren't drawn the way we're used to seeing them drawn.
Exactly.
So that can kind of take you out a little bit.
Nightwing has a big, you know, long hair band thing going on.
And, yeah.
I don't know really what's going on there, but this seems like it's fun. Like it's going to be fun. I'm intrigued
it didn't
to see who
fun
the,
at the beginning.
No.
With the grenade into the nest.
But I was like, intrigued to see who this Robin character is and if she is indeed the first Robin. Like I said, going into the second issue, which I know you haven't read yet, each one of them, like they have their little, little gauntlet that they went through, like their test that Batman gave them to see whether or not they were ready to be Robin. And they go through that for each one of the characters, which was kind of interesting as well. Like I said, it's a 6-issue miniseries. It's fine. I'm intrigued to see where they're going with it and who this character is. I think it's going to be good.
Cool.
So.
Yeah, no, I enjoyed it as well. Same thing. It's a story outshined the art for
it
sure.
Did. Yeah.
But it's, I can't, I mean, I, it, it's just, it is intriguing to.
Right.
To see how they
well,
come
and again,
all, it
we,
is kind of funny that they're
we
just
all
coming
like
together
all these
now.
Characters.
Right.
Yeah. You know, we already all like all these characters, you know, and they're all like being who they are. You know, Damian's being Damian, and he's like, you know,
nobody
well,
likes
I'm the
being
best
Damian
out of all of them.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
I'm the best of all of you because I was born to be Robin. You know, you were all chosen or whatever, you know, and it's like,
but doesn't
that might have been from issue 2. I don't know. But,
No. He did say that. Now, what I was thinking is, doesn't that kind of make you like a lesser person, a lesser Robin? Because you were
right,
born,
because you
it?
Were just born to
nobody
it. Where
chose,
the other ones
you had
were,
no choice.
Were handpicked. Right, they were
the other
hand-picked.
Ones were like I picked from the best of the best, and this is what I came up with. You just were born,
right?
You know, so you could look at. I mean, because people say that all the time. Like you can't pick your family, but you can pick your friends.
Right.
So you know, it's kind of. I don't know, but yeah. So I mean, I love, but I love Damian absolutely. Yeah. So.
All right. I do too.
Yeah. All right. What else you read? Actually, before that, what do we got coming up next week? We got
next week. We have Good Boy. Number one,
yep.
And Joy Operations number one. So we'll be taking a look at both of those.
Joy Operations. That one looks weird.
Yeah, it's
Brian Michael Bendis is back, huh?
Yeah. Yeah. He's yeah, that his one. It's one of his creator
futuristic.
Own books, so yeah,
looks like Ghost in the Shell a little bit to me.
A little bit. Yeah. Good Boy seems like they're trying to capitalize on the Stray Dogs thing. So
yeah,
we'll see
yeah,
what that ends up
yeah,
being about.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't know,
good call on that. Yeah, dead on with that.
Yeah,
it's kind of funny. All right. Yeah. What else did you read?
What I remember is reading is Batman, whatever it was, 114 probably.
I did not
which
read
was
that.
The
which
finale
was
of Fear State, 117.
Oh, it's the finale. All right.
It was the finale of Fear State, and I will say
finally.
similar to what happened with the Star Wars thing. I then read Nightwing, which takes place before.
Okay. So
Batman.
I already read Nightwing, but I haven't read
All right,
Batman.
So I would say read Nightwing first because
right,
it's still that still takes place during Fear State and then
right.
The Batman issue. Now there is a Fear State Omega that's coming out, which is kind of like, you know, just their cash grab to sell another comic, but it will be the ultimate like the epilogue to the whole thing.
Yeah.
But the Batman issue it finishes up the story. And again, none too soon for me, honestly. I was kind of done with
read
this.
It. It's not high on my list. I can't wait to read it. I'm like, meh.
And as far as I know, that's Tynan's last issue.
Oh, really? Okay.
I think so. I don't know if he's going any, but it would make sense because, like, he's not going to gear up into another story.
No.
At this point, when he's leaving the book, so I'm not. You know, I should know this because I order and sell books, but I don't know for the next issue if it's somebody else or not. But like I said, so I read those. You know, again, you read Nightwing. It was fine. It's, you know, Nightwing's.
Yeah. I can't wait to get back to Nightwing.
But that's the whole thing. I wanted to just get done with Fear State.
Right.
And like I said, Batman wrapped it up. It's fine. You know, again, if you're like us, you were probably just ready for it to be done. And I read Dark Ages number 3, which is
read that.
Still great.
Great.
Yeah. Really, really good book. I like where that, you know, like I said, I really like where that story's going. I think it's only 5 issues or 6 issues.
Is it
so,
really?
Yeah, it's not very long. Yeah, that was number 3.
Refresh my memory what happened in that one. I do remember being like, it's awesome. Because Wolverine.
Quicksilver. Yeah, Quicksilver finds out that they're using his dad.
Right.
For electricity. Apocalypse is using
Magneto's. Oh, man. Yeah.
Kind of using his body as a conduit. And, you know, they find out, like, Sue finds out that Reed has been there and is still alive. Like, basically, Quicksilver goes and does some recon over there.
Yeah.
And he gets caught, but they send him back anyways to, you know, basically tell everybody how doomed they are.
Yeah.
And, you know, he goes back and, you know, says, look, they're using Magneto for this. They're using Reed and Tony, and they've kind of taken over everybody.
Right, but then they're like, but Reed's been gone for like 5 years.
Well, and that's the thing. So Sue has thought that Reed was dead this whole time. So she goes crazy when she finds out that he's over there. So, I don't know. Like I said, really good story.
It's insane,
and
really good.
Really enjoyable. Man, I don't know. Nothing else jumps out at me that I remember reading, but I definitely remember reading those.
King Spawn? I know you were reading that. Did you?
I did read King. Yes,
4?
I did read it. Yeah, definitely read it. Yeah, it was fine. I like the story, so it's just
you can see how they're building to the
like the scorched.
Scorched, yes.
Yeah.
Definitely building towards that.
Yeah, because he talks about getting like medieval Spawn. I think he says something like she Spawn or something.
Yeah, she spawns in here, in this one. And she's like, she hasn't had Spawn at her side, but I think she's actually with medieval Spawn in this one, I think.
Right.
And
but I think he makes a comment at one point, like call them in or something like that. So it feels like they're starting. Yeah, they're going to pull everything together for the Scorched book that's coming out soon.
Yeah.
So.
I haven't read Superman Son of Kal-El yet. I didn't read
Batman. Oh, okay. I did read that. That was the big, a little anticlimactic, right? Like, that was the big coming out issue that was
talked about. I thought that already happened.
No, this was
issue.
This was this issue.
Issue number 5.
That came out last week, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Which, you know, they made such a big deal about that going into the issue.
Right.
And it definitely happened in the... Well, it didn't really even happen in the book. Like, they kissed the two characters, like John and whatever the other character's
name.
They kissed. But it's not like he made a statement. He didn't come out, like, to the... It wasn't like his coming out party or whatever, you know. It just kind of... It was a panel in the issue... Right at the very end. So it was, like I said, it was a little anticlimactic because it wasn't all of that. At the end of the day, it was just another issue of Superman, which was fine. I liked the book. You know, I like the book. I think it's good.
They just kissed. What do you want, heavy petting? What the heck?
No, but I mean, it wasn't like they billed it as like this.
I know.
You know, Superman comes out as bisexual to the world. And blah, blah, blah. And it's like, well, none of that happened, really.
Right.
It was just like, you know, it was like he kind of kissed him and then flew away. They didn't even like talk about it or anything, you know. It was just like, okay. So
it was like that time we were drinking.
Exactly.
Kissed and flew away.
But it's still, like I said, it's a good book. I enjoy the series.
Yeah.
I like John as a character, and I like what they're doing. Like Tom Taylor, I like what he's doing with him.
There was so much hype on it, I thought I already read that. I thought he already came. I swear to God. I was like, if I had known that that was the issue, I definitely would have read it. But I'm like, there was so much hype. We talked about it so much that I'm like,
right. Well, that's what I'm saying.
I already read it.
All the lead up to it, and it really wasn't that big of a deal in the book. So.
It would have been a lot better if they kept that quiet, and then when people saw it, they were like, "Oh, but
they announced it on Coming Out Day.
Oh, was it
National Coming Out Day?
So they announced this on Coming Out Day, but he didn't actually come out.
Like I said, maybe he came out to himself, but. Didn't come out to anybody else, but I mean, again, here as a retailer, we can't have it both ways. Like, I applaud DC for giving us the information early because it allowed me to order and sell the books. But by the same token, it wasn't as big of a thing as it ultimately got made out to be. Whereas if they kept it quiet, it would have created a frenzy and people would have. There wouldn't have been enough copies to go around. Like, cause that's what happened with Tim Drake when he came out, you know, a couple months ago in that Batman Urban Legends issue that nobody had because nobody ordered it.
Yeah.
So, you know, like I said, so, you know, as a retailer, you know, you can't have it both ways. So I applaud what DC did. Giving us the news. I still think it was ultimately a cash grab that they orchestrated this whole thing.
Of course.
You know, just to be in the news. But at the end of the day, like I mentioned when it first happened, their job is to sell comics. And, you know, this definitely sold, you know, it definitely sold comics.
Yeah.
And it brought people to the book because people came on looking for the first four issues, you know,
wanting to
get the whole thing and get caught up. You know, new printings came out and they're selling, well, they come out tomorrow. So, they should sell well though. So,
cool.
Yeah.
Cool. Did you read, Moon Knight number five? How was that?
I did.
Good.
I haven't read that either. It's good. That's a great series.
It is.
I like it.
Yeah. We talked about it last week, I think. Because we were talking about stuff from a couple weeks ago, so yeah.
Yeah, I was going to say it would have been from
about
two or three weeks ago.
We talked about number four last week,
right?
Just because we just caught up, but yeah, I was excited to see it there. I haven't gotten to it yet.
Yeah, no, like I said, it's really good. I mean, nothing like this issue isn't a standout necessarily,
just from
the other ones.
Yeah,
but it's just a good series. Like I enjoy it, and I like where it's going. So, definitely a good read.
And I haven't started Dune yet, but I do have it.
Oh, okay.
Looking forward to it. So,
yeah,
but that's all I've read this week.
Okay,
that's all. I didn't get a lot.
Yeah, like I said, that's all that really stands out for me too. I didn't, you know, like I said, I didn't go and pick up any new series or anything,
right?
To try to read because I think I'm going to try to. Actually, you know, I was going to start reading Dune, and then I came across another novel on Amazon that I wanted to read, so I bought that and started reading it instead. Dune's going to have to wait a little while I plow through this 1,000-page book.
Nice.
But I read 2 chapters so far, so I'm on my way.
Nice.
Yeah.
All right. Are you ready to get to, what are we on? Real World now.
Cooking Real World.
Cooking with Gas.
Yeah. We are.
All right. Only a week's worth this week, so this should go by in a half hour.
Yeah. I don't have as much this week. But we did watch The Jungle Cruise, finally, on Disney+.
Oh, yeah. What did you think?
Now that it's free. I thought it was fun.
Yeah, that's what I said.
I didn't understand. Well, it's not that I didn't understand it, but I really didn't expect the whole...
Oh, my God, John.
I didn't expect the whole thing with The Rock there being...
At the end,
1,000 years old, or whatever it was. Like I didn't see that coming, so that threw me a little bit when that happened. But
that's
it's a fun.
Yeah,
yeah. It was a fun leave your brain at the door kind of thing.
His dad jokes.
Yeah, they were
when
great.
When he's doing his tours, yeah. and he's like,
I can't turn it off.
I can't turn it off. Yeah. I don't even remember what they were, but I just know.
Like, I don't either, but some of them were
horrible.
Some of them were kind of funny, but they were horrible. Yeah. But yeah, like I said, it was fun. Their chemistry was good.
Yes.
Emily Blunt is good.
I think Emily Blunt's said that they've awesome already everything.
Like, aren't they doing a sequel to this? They've already announced. I think we talked about that already. I don't know where it will go based on the end of this. Like, I'm not sure what it will be, but
yeah,
I'm sure they'll figure it out.
Yeah. I didn't know.
Yeah, watch. Like I said,
it is a good movie, though. It is like you said, it's a fun movie.
It was fun.
But I thought it was very well done. Did you have? Oh, of course, volume it's Disney and stuff. And,
yeah, like I said, it's Disney Plus, so it was
fantastic.
Yeah, yeah, it was good. Lydia was watching with me, so I didn't crank it all the way.
Jen loved it.
Lydia liked it too.
I think Jen and I watched that on one of our vacations. We were home in the middle of the week, it might have been raining or something, and
yeah,
we paid for it. I think we paid the
That
was the 30 bucks.
I know you bought it. I didn't want to buy it.
It was great.
But again, I don't know. Looking back after seeing it, I'm kind of glad I didn't pay 30 bucks for it. Like, I don't know. I didn't think it was that great, but
It's a good time.
But I mean, I would have gone to the movies and saw it and paid 30 bucks. So
right, that's what I mean. That's how I looked at it.
But my thing is, if I'm going to pay 30 bucks for it, I want to own it. Like,
you
I
do.
Didn't want to just, well, but I
it
own it now, too.
Yeah, well, I know, but I've had it the
I
whole
own it
time
now,
since.
Too.
I've had it a whole time.
But
since.
I'll buy the 4K disc for 30 bucks. I don't necessarily want to pay the streaming fee for that.
Tell you, John, but I'm getting close to saying, you know, I'll tell you afterwards, but I'm doing a theater right now, and my recommendation is going to be, now, this is a new home theater.
Like, oh, yeah.
A person's never had a home theater.
Okay.
And they're starting out with just a TV with speakers, and we're going to home theater. And my recommendation is going to be I almost shouldn't say this on my home theater podcast, but don't go physical. Don't go physical. Because it's streaming is so good that if you don't know the difference, what's the point?
Right.
Why spend all that extra money?
If you don't know the difference.
If you don't know the difference, right? But for me, where I am, I want that difference. I want to see that, right? So I would say streaming is so good, especially if you're down to a 65-inch TV, 75-inch TV.
Right.
You're probably not going to, it's not going to be that big of a deal.
Yeah, notice it anyway.
Yeah. So, but that doesn't take me out of home theater, but.
Right.
But it is getting very, very close. So, It's that's why I paid the 30 bucks to Disney Plus, is because that's like my vote to be like, do this more. I like
it.
I mean, I like it in my home theater. So, all right, that's it.
Yep.
I've just been outed in a home theater. I'm screwed.
I know.
I do love physical media. I buy more than
you buy three or four times.
How many copies do I own of Bloodshot?
Yeah.
but that's a rarity. That's, you know, but I think you could get more people into home theater if you are honest with them and you tell them, like, look, if you do it this way and it gets you into home theater, get some conversation. Maybe down the line they pick up physical media, but right away, I would say.
Well, especially since, again, we all know that it's going away. Like, well, you know, we're
going to know about that, but
we're going to cling to it for as long as we can.
Correct.
But ultimately, it's probably going away.
Right. Right. So, all right. What else did you watch?
All right.
That was our home theater, 3.5 minutes.
Right. Season 4 of Star Trek Discovery dropped last week.
I meant
just
to text
just
you
just
on
one
this.
Episode. Yeah.
Yeah.
They do a weekly drop, so it was only one episode. But I did watch that.
Should I start this? Even though I've never watched it, I meant to text you because I wanted to join you with this if it's worth it to me.
I don't.
Like, could we have some
jump
fun
in at season 4 though? Like, it's sort of anthology based, so you know it's Adventure of the Week kind of thing. So you could jump in without knowing the backstory. I mean, there's there's definitely stuff that's come before because it's season four.
I mean, you and I could talk about it, though. Then you could say, like, oh, you didn't... Like, I jumped in on Picard.
You did. Yeah, you did.
And, I mean, if we had I
think you can. Okay. Like, thinking back to the premiere episode, like, there's nothing that happened specifically that you needed to have background for.
Okay.
If you'd seen the other seasons, there's obviously, you know how she got where she is, but there was nothing that would have been confusing to you that you wouldn't have understood.
Right.
So I think you could. Here was what disappointed me about it, though, is that this is on Paramount Plus.
Yeah.
And it did not drop with Dolby Atmos.
Nope.
And I was really, really
or
upset
Vision,
about that.
I don't think. Does it have Dolby Vision?
I don't think it did, no. Especially since they're dropping other shows on, like,
right.
Mayor of Kingstown, Guilty Party. Both of those are HBO, I mean, are Paramount Plus, and both have Dolby Atmos.
Yeah.
I was a little bit disappointed when I put it on and it didn't have it.
Yeah.
It still sounds great, you
of
know,
course.
I mean,
yeah.
It still sounds
really
good.
Well, you're going to be up-mixing it in your system anyways, and it's going to sound...
But...
The difference is negligible.
But I was just kind of like, why wouldn't you go that extra step? I know they didn't have it for the previous seasons, but that was on CBS All Access. It wasn't Paramount Plus.
Right.
So it was technically a different service that didn't have that. But if the ability is there, I don't know why they didn't use it.
I don't either.
But all that being said, it was a good, you know, like I said, I like this show and it was a good season opener.
Okay.
All right. So I mentioned it previously. I watched a movie called The Voyeurs. This was on Amazon Prime. Stars Justice Smith, and Sydney Sweeney. Sydney Sweeney plays on Euphoria.
Okay.
She's the blonde, that was dating the football player. I'm going to be straight up honest with you. That's the only reason why I watched this movie is because she was in it. it was just one of those things. I'm not going to lie. But this was kind of like a, you know, it's in the title, The Voyeurs, right? So they're a young couple. They move into an apartment and they can see into the apartment next to them, you know, across the way from them, you know, type of thing. And, you know, they're sitting there, they move in, they're sitting there one night and they look across and the couple is having sex, you know, and they watch. And it kind of goes from there.
Well, how do you take your eyes off that?
Well, right. But it you know, it becomes a mystery. And I thought, like,
no
I almost.
Mystery, though.
Well, but I mean, I almost gave up. Like, I almost didn't push on with this movie because in the beginning I was like, this is very cliche. And I don't like Justice Smith, I found out. I had never seen him until this movie, but I right away didn't like him as an actor.
Okay.
And so I almost stopped watching this, but because I thought I had figured out the whole story right from the beginning.
Right.
But it went in a couple of different directions that I didn't see coming, and actually it ended up being kind of interesting. You know... And I don't want to give it I won't give anything away, but it had a few twists that I didn't see coming. And at the end of the day, it actually turned out to be pretty decent. So, I think you should check it out. You'd probably enjoy it.
All right.
So I watched that. You know, we've already talked about this, and I know we're going to go into Kryptonite. So I'll just mention quickly that I finished Another Life.
Yep.
Like I said, I know we're going to talk more about that. I started watching season 3 of Narcos Mexico, that dropped this week on Netflix.
Okay.
You know, Lydia and I watched all of those seasons because there was Narcos that ran for like 3 seasons and then Narcos Mexico, which picked up and it's running for 3 seasons. So again, these are somewhat fact-based, you know, these are all real people, but obviously, you know, dramatized for TV.
Right.
But, you know, this is all about the drug war in Mexico, the El Chapo, and Narcos was Pablo Escobar. You know, so it's all that kind of stuff. I like this show, and we watched like 4 episodes of season 3. This is the last season of this. I don't know if it's going to go on into another iteration afterwards, but if you like, you know, drug war kind of stuff, this is pretty good. And then finally, we watched. I watched the first three episodes of Wheel of Time, dropped on Friday on Amazon.
Oh yeah,
Prime.
Yeah. How's that?
So,
it looks good.
Well, here's the thing. Like I said, I've talked about this before. I have read all of these books, so I have a certain set of expectations.
Yeah, you were looking forward
in my
to
mind,
this.
And I was cautiously looking forward to this.
Yeah.
What I'm going to say is I'm trying to like it. Like it's not bad necessarily. Like Lydia liked it a lot coming to it with no background or no.
Right.
Expectations, she enjoyed it. For me, now again, 13 books, 1,000 pages that I've read years ago, so struggling to remember book one, you know,
yeah.
And what happened. But I do remember, like, they've made changes already that seem odd. Like, I don't know why they've done certain things. And I'm really trying to get past the casting of these characters.
Because it's not what you imagined?
Well, again, yeah, I understand. Well, it's not even so much what I imagined when I read it, but they were described, you know, multiple times throughout these books. You know, this character is, you know, she's got long blonde hair and she's this and she's that. And, you know, but again, these books were written. They're very white, you know what I mean? And I understand that, you know, we live in a world where we're trying to push more diversity in our entertainment, but I have a set vision in my mind of these characters, and none of these actors fit these characters. So I can't get into it because I can't visualize them as the characters that I am familiar with. Like I said, coming to it from the outside, you won't have that.
Right.
You won't have any of those expectations. So I don't know that it will bother anybody else as much as it bothers people that are really familiar with the source material. But these people were described multiple times throughout 13 books. And, you know, you have a picture in your head of who they are. And these people that they cast are not what you... are not what I envisioned. So, like I said, I'm having a hard time reconciling, oh, this is this character, because I don't see that on the screen.
Right.
So,
yeah, it's just harder to identify them.
None of them are bad, or, like, you know, it's got nothing to do with the people that they chose. They're all seem to be doing a good job, but I can't wrap my head around them being the characters that I'm familiar with. Because they just, to me, they don't resemble those characters. Probably my own bias. I'll get over that as I get into the show more, because they will just become
the characters. Right. But, it's just harder at first.
But it's also some of the changes that they're making that just don't seem to make sense to me.
Right.
So that's my, like, that's where I'm coming from with it. Like I said, Lydia really liked it. She enjoyed all three episodes. It's very Lord of the Rings. Like, and it even feels like...
Oh, really?
Like, as I was watching this, I was like, boy, this is more Lord of the Rings than I remember it. Like, the themes were pretty similar.
That's
cool. And I'm not going to say Robert Jordan stole from Tolkien, but Lord of the Rings definitely came first, even though these books are, you know, 20, 25 years old now.
Right.
And definitely go a lot deeper, because there's a lot more story here than the Lord of the Rings ever had. But it's that type of world and those type of characters. So I'd be interested to see your take on it and how you feel about it.
I'll get it
done. It's going to take me a little while to settle into it.
There's three episodes out now.
There was three episodes from week one, and then it'll drop on Friday.
Drop on Friday.
Episode four.
Cool.
Yeah. So... And it's, again, visual. It's Amazon Plus, Amazon Prime, rather. So visually, it's beautiful. It's like no budget was spared. I mean, there's a lot of production value here. It's just, it's going to be a little bit tougher for me to get into it than it might be for you. So
okay, cool. All right. Anything else?
I mean, that's it as far as
touch on Foundation.
We're going to touch on Foundation.
How about Invasion?
I finally watched Invasion
episode that you said where it's like where the
The home invasion episode.
I haven't seen that one yet.
Okay, that was good too. Like I said, it's really up. It's notched up since episode six. Yeah.
You know what?
I watched that. Yeah.
I'm going.
Oh, are you?
Yeah, I went back and I'm starting. I'm doing season. Season one again.
Oh, okay.
Because I want to see it. I want to see how it looks fantastic. It's so much better now.
Because
you know, like, how they shot that as well. There's some darker scenes and this and that, but it is awesome to go through a second time before I get into the second season. Because, like I told you before, when the second season dropped, I'm like, ooh, I can't wait until I can. Because I have time in the mornings now because it's so cold. Right. And I'm like, all right, I don't get to work until like 9:30, 10 o'clock, so I have a few hours in the morning, and I can actually do a couple of episodes before I even leave the house.
Right.
So I haven't watched C yet. I watched today. I mean, I didn't watch it today, but I've been doing an episode of that a day. Invasion kind of went on the back burner for a little bit because I wanted to blast through Another Life. So that's why I was like,
right.
But I finished that. I caught up a little bit on Invasion, but I haven't seen Fridays yet. Same with Lost Symbol. I'm a little behind on that.
Okay, yeah, I finished that.
Oh, that had its finale because that started when the finale started.
Yeah, yep. It was this past week, so I finished that, and so was The Morning Show, and I finished that.
Season finale
for that was
We're going to do that tonight because she's actually off tomorrow for Thanksgiving, so... Okay. I think when we're done here, we're going to watch The Morning Show. How did that wrap up? Good? Was it a good ending?
Yeah, it was a good ending. I mean, again, I don't feel like there's definitely a season three.
Of course.
I'm sure on the way.
Should be.
But it was a good season finale. I think.
All right. Looking forward to
you'll
enjoy
it. Yeah, it was good.
The other thing I watched, and I started watching the series all over again, but Psych 3, This Is Gus.
The movie,
and if you don't, like, Joe hasn't seen Psych 2 yet, so he isn't going to watch this one. So if you don't know the series, it's like, I know you don't watch the series, so you haven't seen the series.
I haven't watched it. I mean, I may get to it, but it's one of those things where there's so many episodes that...
But there's so... You know what's good about that series, though, is it's... There's an ongoing story a little bit, like just the relationships between basically him and Julia.
Right. But I know it's a weekly program, so you can probably just
jump in. That's what I love about it. And I put it on. Now I'm putting that one on at night when I go to bed and I'm just like, all right, I'll watch this till I fall asleep. And I wake up and I know I've seen every episode so many times that.
Right.
And what I liked about it, it's like for me. Even just the song, because you heard, what's his name?
I didn't listen to it.
Oh, you didn't?
Like, I didn't want to listen to him talking about the show that I haven't seen because I didn't know what he was going to say.
Oh, no, he didn't give anything away because the show hadn't come out yet when they talked. Garman?
The movie hadn't come out, but Psych had been out.
Yeah, but they didn't really spoil anything.
Well, I listened to the theme songs. But I didn't listen to his interview because I didn't want to get into that.
Yeah,
and hear things
fantastic.
That I haven't seen.
And I started listening to there's another podcast to go along with Dr. Joe's podcast. Heard it both ways. But there's another podcast put out by Maggie Lawson, I think. Not Maggie Lawson. Is that her name? She's the character on the show. She plays.
Yeah, I don't know.
Juliette O'Hara, she plays her on the show, and she's doing a podcast about Psych, and it's I can't remember what the name of the podcast is. I have it. Hang on, I'll look it up. But I'm listening to that, and her first interview the first week, at the first episode they did. Where the heck is that podcast? Anyways, I'm looking for it here. There's I've heard it both ways. Oh, the psychologists are in. And okay. It's with, yeah, Maggie Lawson and Timothy Olmanson, who plays, what's his name? Detective Colton Lassiter. That's what I remember. But yeah, Steve Franks was the first guest on hers. And he went into like how he came up with the show. He, you know, the writer of the show and everything, and how he came up with the whole idea. And it's basically, it's how he was raised, which is crazy. But the Psych 3, This Is Gus, was awesome. It's, if you're a psycho, like a psycho fan, it,
right,
that's the term is, if you like the show, not if you're a psycho.
Yeah, no.
But it's so cool. Like, Jen came down and watched it with me, and she was like, meh. She kind of fell asleep, and she was like, yeah, I don't get as excited as you do. I go, yeah, but you don't love the show like I do. Like, what you're going to like about it, and what I really liked about it, is my kids are the ones that introduced me to it back in, like,
yeah,
probably the show went out in 06, so probably maybe 07, I think, they started watching it, and they were like, it'd be on in the living room, and then I would start picking up on the 80s references while I was just walking around. I wasn't paying attention. Next thing you know, I'm sitting down explaining all the 80s references to them, and it became right. A family show, and we all just sat down every time it was on, and then they did a midnight marathon once, and like all the actors, they, in between the episodes of the shows, they would be doing stuff, and we made Joe knows the name of, but the cheesy goodness that they have on the show. All that stuff. We had pineapple, everything. Huge. It's like a lifestyle. And
right,
that's why I love the show. That's why I love the movie. But if you don't know the show, you'll probably be like, this thing is so corny and stupid.
Right.
But highly recommend the show. You would absolutely love it. Growing up in the 80s, you'd just be like, all the references they do are fantastic. It's hysterical. Gus and Spencer are just, they're hysterical together. So
yeah.
Yeah. It's a awesome buddy cop type thing, but it's you'd love it. I can't believe you haven't seen it yet. But with all the stuff you've taken in.
Well, yeah. I don't know where it shows up. Like, it's not on my what to watch on Netflix thing, you know what I mean?
So, yeah. I just called him Spencer. His name's Sean.
Yeah.
Duh. Oh. Sean Spencer. It's Sean Spencer. But yeah, it's so good. So good.
I mean, I don't know how I missed it when it came out. You know, it's just one of those shows.
I wouldn't have seen it if it wasn't kids.
Yeah, I just never watched it.
Yeah.
You know, it was on like USA Network or something, yeah, right? So it's not like it was
yeah
always like right out there, and yeah, I just missed it. And
there's a line, you know, in Psych 3, they're like what, I can't remember what they were talking about, but somebody looked at like Sean and Gus and go, don't you watch USA Network? And they're like, not since 2014. And that's when their show went off.
Oh, okay.
That was their last season.
That's so funny.
Yeah, it was wicked. They referenced on Peacock. She goes, it's okay. On Peacock.
Because that's where it is now, right?
Yes. They were talking about a show. Within the show, they were talking about a show. And she goes, it's on Peacock. And they looked at each other like, Peacock? What is that? And now, like, this is Sean and Gus, the main characters of the show. And they're sitting right there going, what is Peacock? She goes, it's a streaming service. You know, it's got TV shows. He goes, sounds weird. She goes, right, haven't you ever watched, like, USA or anything like that? Like, TNT? And he goes, not since 2014. But they do all sorts of stuff like that. It's hysterical. So
that's funny.
Check it out. Other than that, that's about it, right? That's all we got.
Well, that's all I watched. Yeah.
Going over a couple of things. Like I said, Lost Symbol, blah, blah, blah. We'll hit that. Yeah. Still haven't finished Lucifer or Euphoria.
Okay.
I got to get
your list of what you haven't watched is longer than
I know. Yeah, let's not list on that. All right. You ready to get out of here and then we'll get to Kryptonite?
Sure.
We're still running long. Look at us go.
I know.
I know. All right.
That's why those sections are probably not coming back.
What else can we drop? Yeah. Don't. I mean, people like the show. Right. Hey, you don't have to listen, people. All right. All right. Let's get out of here. We'll hit up Kryptonite, where we'll be talking about Another Life, Foundation, No Time to Die. Tons of spoilers. Spoilers. So if you're waiting on those, or if you don't care about spoilers, check it out. But all right. Thank you, everybody, for listening. Hey, rate, review, and subscribe like our buddy BJ did. That would be pretty cool. And yeah, questions, comments, you can hit us up on Twitter at @brightside_chat. Or you can, if you're a Doctor Who fan, you can tweet directly at Arkham Comics with an X.
You can, yes.
And he'll actually reply to you if you're a Doctor Who fan. Everybody else?
That's right.
He just leaves you alone. Hey, I tweeted at him and he goes, yeah, I saw that this week, didn't I? Yes, I tweeted it at you. Oh, yeah. So, all right. That'll do it. We're going to lock the door, throw away the key, and we're going to talk spoilers. But all we'll right. see you next week. Have
Take
a great
care,
Thanksgiving, everybody.
Yep.
Hey, Fred. All righty, John. I didn't even have to ask. Look at you. You got your keys out.
I just locked it. Yep.
Look at you go. Look,
I know my role.
Look at you go.
Yeah. Jeez. I know my job.
Yeah. You know your place.
That's right.
All right. Let's get to Another Life.
Okay.
Such a fancy name.
It is.
And it was kind of deceiving. I don't think I would.
Yeah, because I don't know what it. I don't know what it refers to in regards to the show, really.
Well, it's another life, yeah. in the universe. That's the first one that showed up. I got that. But then you find out we're in spoilers. It was so cool at the end how all of the life around the universe showed up around Earth, like to be like, okay, right. we're here, like giving them a round of applause.
Yeah.
So, what did you think of the ending and the? Like you said, well, first, before we get to that, let's talk about, I agree with you. I feel like the reviews I read, second season was better than the first, but I agree with you in that I was so ramped up in the first season that it did kind of wane to me, you know?
Yeah. And season one had, it wasn't well regarded. Like, it didn't have great reviews.
No.
Almost to the point where I was surprised they made a second season. Because
right.
Everything I heard about it was that it was a bad show, but when I watched it, well, and obviously you as well, I really liked it. I thought it was great. But yeah, I thought kind of like the camaraderie and the characters and everything from season one was better. Like, a lot of those characters didn't make it to season two. And,
right.
You know, it was set up in such a way that, you know, there was unlimited number of characters on the ship that they could just wake up at any time. Like, I don't know how many people were actually on the ship.
Yeah, I know. It was like a human Pez dispenser. It was just
a pretty big
ship. Another
one. Yeah, and it seemed like they had at least three backup crews in sleep,
at
Soma,
least.
They called it, right, at any given time.
And then they had,
you know, because when something happened, you know, to like your engineer got killed, well, you just woke up another engineer and you had a new character. So that
right.
was pretty ingenious the way they set that up. But yeah, most of the cast from the first season were dead or gone, and it was like kind of a whole new cast for season two.
Yeah. So before we get to that, this might be the longest conversation. Who knows? We might go 3 hours. I don't want to. But
yeah,
might.
I don't either.
But how about that? Like, you get like picked for this crew, and right. we're gonna send you out into space for. At the time, it was what, 7 months when they
I
left.
Think it was not even that long. Yeah,
it was
maybe
supposed
6 months.
Seven
yeah, six
month,
or 7 months.
A 7 month
right.
trip, and you might not get woken up. Oh wait,
right.
sign me up. I'm gonna take a
exactly.
7 month nap.
Right.
And like, okay, I'm in. I mean,
yeah,
like,
you're like the C team, so you might
right.
just sleep through the whole thing.
Yeah, and so. Do I still get hazard pay? Because if that ship
right.
blows up, I mean, I'm dead, but I was asleep. Right. That's like just a crazy idea. And then the people, when they do wake up, they're like, all right, why am I up? Like, what happened?
Right. They're like, something happened. I'm awake, so.
This isn't good.
yeah, like you said, the crap hit the fan because otherwise I wouldn't be awake. So, right.
And then you have the whole, what's his name? Superman in season one. He plays Superman.
Yeah, Tyler Hoechlin.
Yeah, and he plays a.
Yeah, he wasn't a great character.
No, but then he literally gets killed. Like,
yeah, he only lasted two episodes. Right? She kills him in the first episode, and then he kind of shows up in a hologram in like the second episode, and then you never see him again. You know, he's talked about a couple of times along the way.
Well, because the next in
the other one was in love with him.
Yeah, they were dating. How about that? Wait a minute. Wrap your mind around that. The only reason you're getting woken up is because he's dead.
Right.
Maybe you should have worked around that,
Yeah, or woken up the third in command, or like the third in line or
just
something.
Don't
you know?
Be in the same line as the person you're dating, because that doesn't seem like a relationship that's going to last.
Right.
Like, oh, no. Boy, I hope I get my turn. Wait a minute. I'm in front of you.
Right.
See, you're hoping I die? So, yeah, it's that was interesting and how that whole thing worked. But you're right. In the first season, the character development, I thought, was a lot of fun. That was the fun. And it, like you said, that sense of family and all of the obstacles that they had to overcome together.
Well, especially since it was, I'm just going to call him Superman because I don't remember what his character name was, but it was his crew and it was his team. Like, Katie Sackhoff was like the outsider that wasn't wanted. And so it was kind of, and so especially when she kills him, you know, nobody was really too happy with her, but, you know, she's in command.
Right.
So to see that evolve through the season was the fun part of the story. You know, everybody kind of came around and, you know, by the end. And that was interesting dynamic. Whereas, like I said, season two, it just didn't seem to have that as much.
No, because the season two was more about the other life. Like the crew was established.
Right.
The newest character in season two was a hologram.
Yeah.
And other than that, it was you had. I mean, who did they? Well, no, they did add two new characters at the beginning. They added the guy with the one leg.
Right.
And then they added the other
Military
second in command type.
Yeah,
he's actually
third
in command.
The other command guy. Who gets stuck with her. Ultimately, they get stuck together.
Together.
Everybody else gets home.
But it was such a quick development, though. Like, I actually think he was brought... Was he brought in at the end of season one, maybe?
He might have been.
He might have been.
But
the point is season two didn't have a lot of new characters, new character development. It was all on how do we deal with getting home and how do we deal with this... The what are they called? The Akai? Or something
Akaya.
Like that.
Akaya. Yeah.
Yeah.
Which I think that's where, like, for me, where it fell apart a little bit was, like, they do the separation of the ship, and she's able to get everybody home except for herself, and it was supposed to be just herself, but the other guy gets stuck behind with her.
Because the hologram was mad at him.
Right. And he kind of got locked out and got stuck behind with
Katie
Sackhoff.
Don't piss off a hologram.
Everybody else got home. To me, that's where it fell apart a little bit. Like, that whole series of events that they went through to ultimately get back home. I don't want to say it's far-fetched in a show that's all about space and aliens and everything that's far-fetched. But again, it was like, I have a hard time swallowing the events that took place. Like, they get abducted by an alien who only has one crew member on the ship. They kill that guy, and they got the whole ship. And that whole thing was just a little bit too much for me to go with.
I'm going to go with you there for a second, and I'm going to be like, you know what it felt like? All right, we got this four-season arc. Well, yeah, we're giving you two. Okay, wormhole.
Exactly. Yeah, right. How do we get home?
How do we get home in two seasons?
Let's get to one of these monoliths that are connected all over the universe, and we're just going to step in and step out it on Earth, you know?
Right.
And kind of that's what they did.
We take 8 months to get out there and 2 seconds to get back.
Exactly. And then, you know, in one day they put their plan together, and
right.
It just felt kind of rushed towards the end, like you said. Maybe they're like, we're not going to get as long to tell this story as we wanted, so we need to wrap it up. You right. know, somebody was in the background just like rolling their finger, like, wrap it up, and they just right. did. So
it took the Wright brothers like 6 years to stay in the air for 6 seconds.
Right.
These people invented a wormhole just because they saw somebody else do it, and they did it in 5 right. minutes. I think if we do this with tinfoil, we can do
it. Like, right.
What the?
So, yeah, so I don't know. Ultimately, again, I enjoyed it. I thought it was a good show, but I think it rushed a little bit to the finish. And
yeah.
It
to a finish that's like a true finale. Like,
right.
You know,
yes, like, because I feel like it is
literally
done,
the galaxy, you know? Surrounded the planet and like gave him a round of applause, like, hey,
for taking out the enemy that nobody could get rid of. Yeah,
yeah, exactly. Like, it's,
and again, it's a whole galaxy of beings that are capable of space travel and have any number of different levels of intelligence over ours. But we were the ones that figured out how to beat them, you know, and it was kind of like,
yeah, it was our resiliency, John, our fortitude. Yeah.
Right.
We don't have the intelligence. We're just stubborn.
Just too stubborn to die.
But like, yeah, but all of these ships, like I said, gather around us to say thank you. Well, if you were having so much trouble with them, why didn't you show up earlier and say help?
Right. Right, that's the thing. It was like, where did you come from? So,
right.
So yeah, that was a little weird, but yeah, I don't know, still fun. I definitely recommend it to people.
Oh yeah, it was definitely fun. Like first, because you get so roped in. Like I agree
with
you.
Like
you
said, season one was
you have to finish it with season two.
Right.
There was one part, I can't remember what it was, but Katie Sackhoff did something in season one that I literally, all by myself in my theater, I started applauding because it was just such a great scene. And she just like, because of her like strength and fortitude, and she was just so matter of fact with her crew or whatever, and she put right. them in their place and was right on something. And I was like, yes! And I was like clapping out loud, like in my theater, and I was like, nobody's joining me? Oh yeah, nobody's here.
Yeah, nobody's okay. here but me.
Boy, I miss going to the theater.
Yeah.
But yeah, really good. The ending, like you said, it wrapped up so quickly. But by the time it wrapped up, you wanted it to wrap up.
I was kind of, I was ready. Like, they built it to the point where you were ready for it to kind of be over.
Right, right.
So. I don't know that I wanted another season of it.
I would have taken but I'm not, like, if they,
It would have had to been.
That's the thing.
Season two would have had to been, if it was constructed differently to where a third season felt important, then I would have been all for it.
Right.
But the way they kind of rushed to the end, it just feels like they're done and probably aren't coming back.
Yep.
There's still stories to tell because now there's interactions with all those other life forms could take place. So there's still this room for more story, but I don't feel like
season three, other lives.
Yeah, it just doesn't feel necessary. Like, it feels like the arcs of these characters were done, so.
Yep, absolutely. All right, we both highly recommend it, so.
Yes.
All right, let's move on to Foundation, one that I really like, and John, not so much. He likes
again,
it, not
that's
as
not
much
so,
as
yeah,
me.
Not yeah. so much. I do
I said
like
that
it.
Wrong.
Yeah, I do like it, but again, I'm not following it up with the podcast or anything like that. And I find myself a little lost at times. I don't know always what's going on. But I did like, specifically to the season finale, like I really liked what they did with like the Empire lineage of those characters. And what has me intrigued for season two is the actual time jump. Because it jumps 138 years in the last minute, and my thought is like, what happened to them over that 138 years? Like, what is the state of the Empire 138 years later? Because we find out that Brother Day is also corrupted. And
right.
Brother Dusk may be corrupted. Like, you don't know how far back that goes. So, like, is that line broken? You know, is there even an empire 138 years later? They might have stopped
right.
cloning themselves, and there may not even be one. It might have fallen.
Well, they end the entire season with the, don't they end it with the shot on, like, Brother Prime? Like, whatever. Obviously,
do they? Maybe they do. I just remember that it's Gail and her daughter there. You know,
yes,
now again,
that's pretty cool.
Don't even
age.
Get me started on the the series of events that would lead to her finding her mother buried in the water. Like, I found that a little convenient and a little hard to swallow, if I'm being honest.
Wasn't there like something telling her? Like,
she had a hunch, is all she had.
Yeah, but
it was also 138 years later. And the right. hunch was it was the daughter that was.
But they also both see
buried.
The future, right? Not buried. Right. She was under the water. Yeah.
Well, but you know what I mean.
Right.
Asleep. And the mom is the one that found her, where the daughter was out looking for the mom. So it just felt very. Like I said,
awesome.
I know that's the story, but it felt very convenient. But but yeah, like I said, I'm intrigued for where it's going because of that time jump. And what does that mean for that empire?
I don't think season two might not pick up there. They might come back to that time.
Well, they might.
The
I don't know.
You don't
right.
know because we're going to find out over the next however many seasons we get. Like I said, right now they're saying on the podcast it's 8 seasons.
Right.
Whether we get them all depends on.
Well, that's the whole thing. It depends on viewership.
But
right.
Apple TV seems to be doing pretty good. So I'm hoping this one is picked up.
Yeah.
But the whole idea of, like, let's just stay with the Empire right now and the brothers. And what did you think? Did you see that coming?
With
when
the Dawn, the nanny or whatever?
Dawn.
Or whatever,
was,
or whoever she
when
is.
When he's like, don't let, he runs to her and he's like, don't let them kill me.
Yeah, I was a little surprised with that.
Yeah.
I didn't see that coming.
Yeah.
Especially because it felt like Day was going to let him live. Like he was.
Right. That's why I think it's so well written. They did such a good job at leading you in one direction and that, like, it was that. Particular scene was like a literal shell game because they're like, look at these two guys arguing over here. He's scared. He runs to her for protection. And you're like, okay, so and she says, I won't let them do that.
Right.
She didn't lie. And then you just made the noise with your neck. And,
I did, yeah.
And then them arguing and you as, that's why I said it's an emotional roller coaster because you're like, Brother Day is seeing, he's getting a heart. He's getting a soul. He's earning something here that he didn't have in the past, right? And he's like, he's really seeing it through a different lens. And then like that.
Yeah, like that. She's
like, and she's right. She's programmed to protect the Empire. And she's like, no, I see this. And she... When she
but what happens when she finds out that Brother Day is also corrupted? Does she go and snap his neck too? You know.
Well,
and
I don't know. I think
because I don't understand her ending.
No. Because I think here's the thing. I think she snapped. She didn't snap his neck just because he was different. I think she snapped his neck because of what it was causing between them two. And they were actually fighting the two, Day and Dusk, arguing over how Empire should continue was the issue, right? If they had all agreed, like, nope, this is how we're going to go forward, this is bup, 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 and everybody was good with it, well, that's Empire's decision. But when you have that big fight, and then maybe she would have had some input, I don't know, but I feel like it was all the things going on at once where she was like, no, I'm going to end this for all of you right now. And this is the way it has to be.
Well, right. But when Dusk finds out that Day is also corrupted, that argument starts up all over again.
Right.
And does she come in and end it there as well. And there's no clones anymore. Like, they can't just wake another one up because they're all corrupted. So, like, what does that mean? And yeah. And by 138 years later, those particular ones would be dead. So, what did they do?
They each get clones when they're born. So they just keep on going.
Right, but the clones are all corrupted.
They're all, yeah.
So if they can't bring in another one, you know, Dusk is definitely dead. They'll both be dead 138 years later. And if there was no copies to make new ones, is it over? You know, or
I don't know.
Did they?
I don't know what they have.
That's
for
what
science.
I'm saying. I don't know.
For all I know, they can advance
or have them.
I don't know.
Well, the thing is, or have they just procreated and gone the old-fashioned way and created new heirs?
I don't know. I thought they established that. I thought they can't.
Maybe they did. I don't know.
But that's just our conversation right here, which is like a tangent from the show, is what I find fascinating about the show, is that there's so much to talk about here, never mind how great the actual content of the show was. That's that one story right there, and that everything we just talked about is based off of that one scene in the I don't know.
Right, it's just like 5 minutes in the finale. There's a whole bunch of other stuff. But again, there's parts of it that are confusing and a little convoluted too. Like, I didn't really get the whole Selden thing at the end.
I hope it's called Selvig. But yeah, Selden thing and how he comes out of the...
Yeah, like I didn't get all of that. So there's parts of it that
I got, at least to me,
are a little confusing. I don't know. But yeah, I don't know. Like I said, I enjoyed it overall, and definitely I'm going to keep watching it. So... like I said, if nothing else, just to find out what happens.
I think the entire thing is based on, like, he Selden figured everything out using math, and he's like, this is how things are going to play out. And even though, like, he didn't guess that she would find out, what's her name? The mother.
Gail.
Gail. Didn't guess that she was actually supposed to go to... Terminus,
right.
Make it to Terminus.
She never made it.
But this had all of these things, obstacles happened, but everything still happened according to the math.
Right.
And it's basically a giant show around the life will find a way. Like, it's destiny is going to happen regardless. It's like, all right, it might not be you, but it's going to be somebody, and it's going to do that. It's like, because that. When you add up enough figures, that the math always works. When you factor in enough things, so it's crazy. And I can't wait. I can't wait to see more. All right.
Yeah.
All right. That never mind the entire like spectacle of sights and sounds that show brings.
Well, yeah. So, like I said, it's the production quality is top notch.
But that's a topic. Maybe you and I could do that one on my other podcast.
Yeah.
All right. Let's talk about No Time to Die, 007. Okay. All right. I've waited.
Well, I mean, I can't believe you don't know. I told you exactly when it happens, right at the end of the movie. Like, it really just hacks me off that they killed James Bond. Like, you don't kill James Bond. Like, that doesn't happen. Like...
That bothers you?
Of course. Yeah, it bothers me. Like, you don't do that. Like, you don't kill Bond. Like, I understand
that... this is also a Bond that Bond's not supposed to have feelings. That everything they've done with Daniel Craig is what you don't do with James Bond.
I don't know if I agree with that. But, I mean, I understand that this was a series of...
He's blonde. Wow. He has feelings. He has a temper. James Bond is supposed to be, has always been the no feelings. No, he's just a matter of fact. Business is business. And he just does things calm, cool, collected. And this has been the James Bond with a heart. And with a heart comes a temper. And that was laid out in the first one.
James Bond has been married before. Like, I don't know that he's never had a heart. I get that this is a series of five movies that kind of exist outside of the other
That's what I, yeah.
Movies.
Isn't
in the
this
sense
also
that
the first time that they're all tied together, too?
Right. That's what I'm saying. They're a series of interconnected movies. You have characters that are, you know, like they talk about Vespa and even the, you know, the blonde, right. the character from this movie. Like there's characters outside, like you always had M, you always had Q. Like those were characters that recurred throughout. Felix kind of always appeared. But like they were staples in the Bond universe. But this is the first time you have villains reappearing, you have, you know, characters reappearing.
Yep.
So I know that they're treated a little differently, but it just really rubbed me the wrong way that they killed Bond. Like, it just shouldn't happen. So I thought the movie was great. Like, I thought the whole thing was fantastic. I loved the send-off. Like, I thought they were giving him a good ending and all of this stuff. And then they just killed him. Like, I was like, what is the deal here? Like, you can't, because now to me, I mean, we all know they're going to reboot Bond again. Like, Bond is not done, but you can't bring back M or Q. Like, you can't bring back any of these people because now they're tied to this Bond that's dead. Whereas in the other series of movies, like, you could change from Sean Connery to Roger Moore or whatever, but M could still be M. Like, it was kind of the same guy, you know? Like, Q could be Q. Like, Q showed up over, like, multiple different Bonds. But now you've tied all these characters to a Bond that's dead. So you can't, to me, you can't bring them back again, you know? I don't know. Like I said, it might just be me, but I don't know. It really,
yeah,
I mean, excuse my language, we're in spoilers, but it really pissed me off. Like, I just... I
you
just
could
did
that.
Not like it.
Yeah, I could
that
tell.
That they killed him, you know. I was really, really mad about it. Saying all of that, I felt like the movie was great. I did feel like Rami Malek's character was a little pedestrian and kind of unnecessary to the whole movie. Like, his whole plot, just they could have just plucked him right out and it wouldn't have even mattered. You
right.
know what I mean?
But
I felt like he was superfluous to the whole thing. Like, and I like Rami Malek a lot, but I just really didn't buy him as
I think that's a
villain. And
yeah, I think that was done on purpose because this is, the focus of this movie, dare I say, was about Bond.
Right.
You know, and it was his send off. And like you said, this is
but
the
it was
one.
More even Blofeld was more important to the story than
right
than his character was.
The entire, I mean, the whole M was bigger. He was a part of this. He was the when you think of the end of the movie and like that entire facility, that was all facilitated by M.
Right.
Right. So he was the one that he killed Bond. Because Bond had, and he's the one that said launch. You know, he did destroy what got out of hand. There was a purpose for what they did here, but it got out of hand, and Bond is the one that had to take care of it. Bond is the one that figured it out, and Bond is the one that had to sacrifice himself to get it done, right? And so, for all intents and purposes, when M went down this road however many years ago, he's the one that killed Bond. So I feel like this story isn't over. Then what if the next Bond is his daughter? And she's, you know, Bond, and then she'll say her first name, Bond. And she becomes the next 007. Like, she's Bond. She's the next Bond. And what I thought was funny is, in my head, I've never had a problem with a female 007, which we got here, which was pretty cool.
Right.
Because that's just, it's just a number. And they said
it
in the movie, right?
It's a designation, right?
Designation. But I always felt like, how do you do a female James Bond?
Well, right.
Because
you can't.
James is, you can't.
Yeah.
But I would like to see a 007, a female 007. And I said this to my sister when she saw this a while ago and she asked me about it. And she asked my feelings on a female James Bond or a female 007. And I was like, I think it would be fantastic because what Daniel Craig is like I said to you before, he's the antithesis of a typical Bond before this, where it's calm, cool, collected. women are typically very more emotional than men, right? But what if the next James Bond's a female that has no emotion? We go back to that calm, cool, collected, and that woman that you just, and you'd be like, holy crap, a woman that just sleeps around, doesn't care about anybody, doesn't care about anything. And you're like, wow, that would be right. A big switch. I mean, Daniel Craig was awesome all the way through the series, all the way through all of these movies. One of my favorite Bonds. That's the thing. We all want to be James Bond too.
That
scene in this one, in No Time to, when he walks out of the office and takes off his badge, and without looking, he just throws the badge and it lands in the trash, and he just keeps walking, but his head never moves. And you see that when you're in the, you remember watching Bond when you're a kid in any James Bond movie, and you're like, oh, I just want to be that guy.
Right.
So cool. Well, he was cool in a different way. He was angry. He'd be like, rawr, and he'd throw it. Previously, James Bond, he was just cool. Very cool. So, but anyways, going through the movie, I'm like, how do you do a female Bond? You can't do that because it's James Bond. But maybe you can if it's his daughter.
Right.
And, I mean, she does have his eyes.
Yeah.
That was insane how, like, blue her eyes were, too.
Right.
And you looked at that, and it's like, but I didn't mind it. I honestly had no idea. I was like, I'm waiting for that part of the movie, and I was like, what is he mad about? And I was waiting for something big to happen.
That was pretty big. I mean,
it was, but it felt appropriate. You know, because he's also the first James Bond to have a full story arc in multiple movies. So it felt appropriate not to kill him. I would have loved it. I hate that he died because you love the character. You love Daniel Craig as Bond.
So the thing is, because they'd already set it up to where he couldn't be with his family, right? Like, because he was polluted or whatever it was. Like, he had that virus. So they had already set it up to where he wasn't going to get the happy ending. To me, leave it at that. Like, that was already like the worst thing that could happen to him. Dying was better.
Right.
For him. So you know what I mean?
So you wanted him tortured for the rest of
Not so much that, but it's like, you know, if you don't want him to, like, you know, retire and get married and live happily ever after, because that's not what we want for Bond either. Like, we want Bond to keep going.
Yeah, we want.
So
yeah, Bond.
They had already taken that away from him. So, like, to me, that is a better ending. You know, he found the love of his life or whatever, and, you know, he can't be with her. Like, to me, that, I don't know, that felt better than just killing him.
I don't know.
So.
Yep. I loved it. Thought it was great. Thought it was a fantastic movie, looking movie, great Bond movie.
Oh, it was. I mean, it was great action, great stunts, great everything. Like I said, it was, I loved it all the way till the end.
Yeah.
You know?
This is the, I own all the Daniel Craig Blu-rays. I don't know if I, do I, if they're in 4K, I have them in 4K too, but.
They are.
If this comes out in a box set, I'll get it. Because, I mean, it's that, I love the series.
I do too.
What did it start in? 05? I think 2005 was the first one.
Yeah, it's been a while. He's been Bond for a long time.
Yeah.
He's the longest tenured Bond.
Yeah. Longest, you know. I mean, everything they did with him is outside of what they've done with Bond. And that's, I think it's just kind of funny. You're like, they killed him too.
Yeah,
I mean, what else were you gonna do with him? There's none left.
Well, he continues on. He continues to be Bond, right? Like, it's just like we said, or it's just like I said with, like, Shameless last week when I was talking about the end of that show. We might not see it, but it just goes on. You know what I mean? Like, that's what you want.
I think they want this story to go on. They like this kind of story, which is weird for a Bond, because if they go on and tell a story, and his daughter becomes a 00. Like, if she becomes 007, that's going to be weird, because how do you come back from that? Now you're going to have to truly end that and then pick back up with the next Bond, like The Rock or something.
Yeah. I don't know about that. I mean, he's everybody else, but
Henry Cavill, I don't think The Rock, I don't think. I love Henry Cavill, but I don't think he could be. He's too big.
Well, then so is The Rock, really.
That's
right?
What I'm saying. I was joking. You can't. Bond is supposed to be like, he's supposed to blend in a crowd.
Yeah.
In a tux, he's supposed to blend in, not be like, yep, that's Bond.
Right.
But I guess Henry Cavill could also lose a lot of weight, too. He could slim down.
Well, he doesn't have to be. Right.
He doesn't have to be that Superman. Jacked. Yeah.
Right. So. Although, I mean, watching him walk around in that Sherlock Holmes, Enola Holmes movie, where it's like he's wearing a suit and he was still huge.
Yeah. Still huge. I mean, he was huge in Mission Impossible, but he was standing next to Tom Cruise, so.
Yeah, well, yeah.
I'm huge.
Everybody's huge.
Right. Like, DJ's jacked. No, that's Tom Cruise. Oh, okay. Okay. All right. Is that it?
I think so.
Good. Nice short show. 223.
Yeah. It's still long.
Oh, all right. I didn't think. Yeah, well, look at that. Imagine if we left stuff in. I don't know, John. I think we'd just have to talk for 2+ hours.
Yeah, we would have been 3 hours again. So.
Yep. Well, last week we were 3 hours and we took it out too. So.
We had FOC, but we took out Speculator.
I threw in a little FOC this week.
You did.
We're going.